motherfucking streets, nigga. I'm supposed to be rapping on these beats, nigga. I'm too busy with a bitch in a Rolex. She stole this week, nigga. You sweet, nigga. You one of my bitches, trick or treat, nigga. Knock on this door with a mask on. I promise you getting sweet, nigga. Eliminated. Every gun I got sophisticated. Send a nigga to heaven. Congratulations, that nigga made it. Mama in the kitchen playing Kirk Franklin. She miss a baby. It's sad that he got stumped on, but I'm surprised he made it this long. He been a target. They been waiting to see his car so they can park it. I heard a little Superman shot back, but he couldn't clock it. The streets is heartless. How can you survive without so many sources? How can you make it to the top like everybody else without that many choices? We dreamed of Porsches. Brawny in the yard when we seen the horses. Seen my first murder at 7. I dreamed of screaming voices. I wanted to be the dude like Devin. I end up being Jordan. This rap shit ain't even important. My white bitch is finessing corporate for millions, nigga. How much money you leaving for them children, nigga? How many rainy days you gotta prepare for when it gets serious, nigga? The Pierce, nigga. I used to pour air up in my sear, nigga. Now I pour a $250,000 on the table for a diamond tier, nigga. I'm spilling for it. In that same jungle where they killing and they stealing for it. Where police can shoot a baby and get a ribbon for it. It's in your eyes, how can you ignore it? You too busy watching a movie with Kevin Hart and Chuck Norris. Fuck Netflix. I'm in the hood trying to reset bricks. Show these young niggas how to get they nets fixed, they checks fixed, they network. Nigga, how much really is your set worth? If every nigga in your set broke a dead nigga, then your set hurt. That's realistic. It's true they hate on all the ones who's gifted. So no, you gotta feed and kill them wolves. See, a sheep can't do business. They say we senseless. How we run to that concrete again? But what is a gangster who can't be on the streets again? That's like telling Mayweather he can't put on Gucci slinks again. I beat the pin on my twin. I seen mothers leave their babies to go have fun with their friends. Get shot on accident, she never came home again. Will it ever end?
Crew Season Podcast, we are back again. This is episode
33.
Kenny T is in the building. OT is in the building.
OTs.
Y'all know Smooth is in the motherfucking building.
I am D-Trill AC. This is another episode of the Crew Season Podcast. How are you fellas doing on this glorious morning?
Shit, that sauce was talking to me.
Yeah, that's hard.
Gucci.
That sauce was talking. I got to play that on the way to the crib. Repeat.
So I wish YouTube let us play music, man.
Yeah, YouTube be on that whole ass shit.
I be wanting to include it in the videos, but they gonna flag it down.
They lucky they giving us some money. Fuck.
NDC, what's good, bro?
What you on?
I'm tired.
I see, man. So you gonna have
damn those, if you tired, you late. Oh,
shit. I took a melatonin when I got off of work.
Oh shit!
Forgot I had to come shoot.
Oh, you did, huh?
Say, Dan got to go right back.
And he was up my ass all week,
nigga. Hey, nigga, I'm be there, nigga. 7 o'clock, nigga. Need y'all be early, man.
I left the door locked and everything. I woke up looking at my ring, like thinking I'm gonna get a motion since I ain't getting. I say, oh yeah, that boy went home.
I ain't gonna lie, y'all forgot all about it. I thought yesterday was Saturday. I don't know what it was.
Man, I was tired. Making so much money, lost track of the days, huh?
I wish that was the case.
No, that really is the case.
Oh my god! Yeah, nah, we chilling, man. Now, as y'all see, you know we got new hoodies coming.
Come on, man!
As y'all see on the YouTube.
God damn!
These will be available next month. We're gonna have a limited amount. So it's
they gonna probably be sold out before they hit the regular public. I am sorry, but I'm not.
You should have been a Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon gonna get access to them 24 hours for everybody else. So, yeah, if you're not a Patreon member, sign up to the Patreon, and you know you will too have that opportunity. If not, then you just gotta wait on the scragglers if it's any left. You know what I'm saying? I doubt it's gonna be any left, but you know we gonna see how this thing shake out.
We got sweatpants coming too.
Yeah. Yeah, the sweatpants is coming as well. So everybody that was asking me, man, where you get the full unit? It ain't out yet, but it is coming next month. And we're going to roll all of it out at the same time, man. But, yeah, I'm trying to think. Am I forgetting anything about things that's coming up?
We got something, but we can't speak on it yet.
Oh, yeah. Okay, moving right along. Docket today is an interesting one. We've been getting a lot of requests all week and to talk about a lot of different things. We're going to dive right in. Did y'all boys get a chance to watch American Skin?
Come on, man.
Did it.
Yes, sir. Come on.
What were your thoughts on the picture?
Hey, man. Hey, I ain't gonna lie. Whole movie, me and baby was in there. He better put a bullet in that boy.
I can only imagine. If you ever watch a movie with Matt, you ain't watching the movie.
Hey, you know what's crazy?
You gotta listen to this nigga talk all day.
No, I was not.
What happened?
Nah, hey.
What's about to happen?
That's when I know one of you whole ass niggas has seen the movie.
This is my first time watching it. What's about to happen?
Hell nah.
What do
you mean? Hell nah. But shit, hey, we was in that bitch. And first, I'm being quiet. Soon as the shit started happening with old boy kidnapping the cop, shit, baby started going up. Put a bullet in that boy. Even the black dude, he needs to be shot too.
Yeah, that was.
Dog, it's so many layers to that movie, man. It's so many layers, man. I hate how they brought that black cop to their house to try to.
Yeah, to get the mother to speak after.
I hate that. Baby died. I hate that. Like, man, come on, bro.
Yeah, I was surprised, honestly, that he was still somewhat sane.
Yeah.
You know, a whole year passed. You know, I got a daughter. I got, you know, people that got kids to understand, like, especially in a situation like that, you know, to where, you know, all he did was have his phone up, essentially. Mm-hmm. And you're getting, like, extra violent with him. But these type of things happen in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, they don't want you to record them, you know, doing that, you know what I'm saying? Doing they extra stuff. Cause that's what be happening. It'd be a bunch of extra stuff. Like that man, that kid was 14 years old. Like, come on. And he looked 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go above and beyond and just get aggressive with him. Put the phone down, stop recording.
Then he say he ain't mean to shoot him, but you shot him 3 times. How you didn't mean to shoot somebody, but you squeezed 3 times?
Cause he said he was scared. He said it. He said, I was scared. And I wanted to go home.
But before he pressured them to tell the truth about what it really was and what they really seen, he was like, oh, I didn't mean to shoot your son. If you didn't mean to shoot somebody, you're going to shoot him one time, right? If you didn't mean to shoot him, but you shot 3 times. So that meant you mean to shoot that man. And his back was to you.
But he also had a preconceived notion. Remember, he said he got profiled. He saw two.
Yeah, but black at first he had to pressure him for that though, because they weren't going to say that.
In the moment, I'm saying that's why he did it. He got all that stuff in his head already. It's a black kid. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's late at night. He kind of turned slightly, so I can't see him fully. I can't see all his hands.
And another thing, man, about remember when they went deliberate in their room, and the kid had to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
They was gonna stay the people that knew they was wrong but was with the cops, they was gonna stay on their side until that kid said, hey, I'm from the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to explain to them how the shit looked for them to change their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Another interesting part was when his son was sitting at the laptop talking to his boy on that little chat thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was explaining to him, like, but he really like reading the laws and all of that. Like, look, no, we have the right to do this. Yep. We can do X, Y, Z. He sat him down like, son, look, those laws was not written with us in mind.
And he made the friend stay online. He said, like, you need to hear this.
That was probably the realest scene of the movie to me.
Yeah.
Because the unfortunate part about being black and is that you got to have these conversations with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's just facts. And especially if they in a, you know, privileged situation, just like he was. He going to a private school, you know, good, you know, his daddy sacrificed to get him in there. That's another situation. But
man, sacrificed. Yeah. He could have been anything.
Yeah. But, you know, when your kid is coming up in that environment, all of their friends and stuff, you know, your friends is telling, yeah, you know, they have certain privileges that you don't. Mm-hmm. And that's just facts. And it's like, you thinking just because we go to the same school, just because those are my friends, we all live the same way. No, it don't work like that. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a important conversation, man, that unfortunately we got to have with our kids.
You think he should have shot the cop? One by one.
Me? If it was me, yeah, I'd have shot him. ain't gonna even lie. I wouldn't have let him make it. That's my only child. My only child. Nah. And I knew he was gonna be great. I knew he was, you know what I'm saying, had the potential to be great. Oh no.
Well, see, wait. Kenny asking that in the, like, from a reference, from his reference, not your reference.
What you mean?
Now he's saying, if you was him in that situation, would you have shot the cop?
Yeah, I'd have shot him.
Okay.
Oh, I'd have laid him down a couple times. I'd have shot him 3 times just like he shot my boy. Otis. If you make it after them 3 bullets, it was meant for you to make it.
Otis?
It was meant for you to make it.
I don't know, man. That's hard for me to say.
It ain't no, I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
It's a yes or no, dog. It ain't really, I don't know.
It's hard for me to say because it depends on when you catch me. Because if I did everything that he went through, shut up. You always making damn faces. If I went everything that he went through.
It's a yes or no.
Shut up.
It ain't no. It depends on the situation is right there. That's the situation in the movie. That's the whole situation.
If I went through everything that he went through to do all of that, knowing I'm going to get killed, I would have shot his ass.
See, and that's why I say it's based on his point of reference. Because in his idea, he going in there to like make the film. He just like you said, I never planned on killing nobody.
Facts.
Because what he wanted to do was put that on video, mm-hmm. get that out to the public, go do my 10 years and come home.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his mindset.
Right.
But me, if I'm in that situation, that cop's not walking out of there. That's just what it is. I definitely would have let him call his wife and kid, but that would have been more of a torture thing than me being feeling sympathy. It's no sympathy in the world. I don't care what you tell me. It's no emotion or anything you can relay to me that would have saved your life in that situation. That's just what it is. Kenny?
Since you asking us.
I had this conversation with my parents. Mm-hmm. At first I said, probably should have shot him. Mm-hmm. But then as I went talking with my parents about the situation, it was like, it would have made matters worse with him killing that cop. Because seeing the predicament that we're in now, like, all of what a society would have saw is just him shooting that cop, killing that cop, just like they did at the end of the movie. They portrayed him as being PTSD, ties with Iran, all that kind of shit. They wouldn't have...
Mentally ill.
Yeah, they wouldn't have saw the real situation of what's going on, and it would have made matters worse for every black person out there with any cop.
Possibly. Instead of what's,
no, it would have. There ain't no possibly.
But think it sometimes... But sometimes, not saying it's right at all in any way, but sometimes shit like that has to happen for statements to be made because for so long, we've given so many passes. You know what I'm saying?
I think he made a statement by making that video. That was his statement.
And he got killed.
Well, I mean, he knew he was going to get killed. He didn't go in there to come back out alive. He knew he was going to get killed.
That's true, because what's his name?
That's why he said
Amari Harmon said, see you on the side. He did say
he
that.
He knew he was going to get
and
killed.
And he was sick, too, so. I get it.
At first I was diehard, like, you know, he probably should have shot that cop. But at the end of the day, I don't think it would have made matters better at all. They'd have took that video and they would threw that video out the window. They'd be like, oh, he still went in there and took the laws into his own hands.
But like he said though, we always the last to get anything. So what is already a lot of pressure on us out here, so
You want to make more pressure?
Fuck it.
Pressure make diamonds.
Fuck it.
Pressure make diamonds.
Fuck it. Like that privileged kid said, if it take one cop to make this happen, fuck it. Let it ride. You get what I'm saying?
Sometimes stuff like that has to happen for them to see some type of change at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think in that situation, man, you don't really understand until you go through it yourself. I feel like. And I feel like it's easy for you to stand on the outside looking in and say, well, maybe not, maybe. But when that's your kid and you done raised that kid up, he's 13 years, 14 years old, mm-hmm. something like that, mm-hmm. every day. And, you know, they did a great job of, like, showing him sitting in his son's room, staring at the bed and mm-hmm. just staring at the pictures on the wall. Like, that's a hurt that you can't even really put into words.
It'll never go away.
Like, that would darken me so much to where I wouldn't be able to see light or be able to care about the well-being of everybody else. So I think, you know, but it's easier to do that when that's not your kid. You can, like, back up and look at the bigger picture. Like, you know what? If I do this, it's going to make it worse on everybody else. But if I'm in that moment, and that's my – just like Kenzie. If that happens to Mackenzie, I don't care about the rest of the world. I will burn the city down until I get what I want to get out of that, even if it take my life.
My wife say I would, if she was that woman, she'd have never did that shit for the thing. She said,
yeah, hell no.
She'd have got in front of that camera and said, burn this bitch to the ground.
Straight up. Paige said the same thing.
That's exactly what she said. She said, if that was me, they'd have put that camera up there and I'd have destroyed it.
But it's just the audacity of that sergeant to come in there and sit on the couch and make it like it's her obligation to stop that.
Right. And you know what's crazy? They just showed him at first in the house. But all his superiors above him, the big dog, all white,
of course,
outside the house.
Of course.
With security at the door.
Yep. So they want to send us somebody that, you know, we can, that she can relate to.
Right.
You know, he can be able to talk some sense into.
No, bro. Fam. No, I wouldn't need. They'd have came to the door. I'd have been like, nah, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. Oh, y'all got some cameras? Oh, we'll bring them around here then.
But how do y'all feel about who was that? Like nephew or the cousin? It's like a cousin, something
going,
like that.
Going out of pocket.
The one that was going wild with the officer. Yeah. How you feel about that?
I can't blame him for that. That's my cousin.
Somebody and they grew somebody up
take
close.
You out. I don't want to hear no. You know what I mean? Like what are we talking about here? Like you got the audacity to come to my auntie's house and say that it's her obligation to go out there and stop what's going on in the city, stop violence. But y'all didn't stop violence when you killed my cousin.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So everything else you saying,
and then on top of that, y'all didn't stop violence when y'all said the cop was innocent. Nah, bro, I'm not hearing that, bro.
Thing is, didn't even let him go to trial. Just dropped the charges. It's like what? Like you could at least let the man go to trial. Let's look at evidence. Let's look at camera footage. Because just like when he held the trial, that's relevant stuff came out. Just like, oh yeah, we thought he was speeding, but he said, look, it's speed bumps every 20 feet, so it's impossible for me to be speed.
And you know what's crazy? You seen that?
I thought he went to trial. Hmm? I thought he went to trial. They had trial.
Yeah, they had trial.
And did they?
He was not guilty.
Yeah, they said he was not guilty. They did have trial.
That's why he had a retrial.
Okay. What? Yeah, but so it's just like looking at evidence like that, man, and for you to be able to make that decision with just blatant evidence in front of you, it's just like what are the options you got?
Because and I like how that woman cop spoke up.
Oh yeah,
about what she go through with the police shit on both sides. You know what I'm saying?
Cause it's just with that law, man. If you got just that slight, you know what I'm saying, plausible, like you always say, plausible. You just need one little slight to take it off, and it's like, damn, he, you know, that person is right. It's not 100% concrete proof that this person did it. And if they don't have 100% to the T, they can get off, and that's what they always get off on.
And that's the wild part about it, because of the precedent that it sets.
Mm-hmm.
Cops going forward, they gonna feel like just like it's what nothing. You just said.
You don't always be able to get off.
If I can just give them a slimmer, I'm good.
Yep.
And that's not saying again. I don't want to get that mistaken either, because just like they asked him in the trial. I mean the kid said when they was deliberating, he said, "Do I think that he left his house that day, and went about planning on killing a black dude? No, no. But it's a training thing. It's a instinctual thing. It's a Like after he shot him, he said, what did you do? Oh man, I went home, watched TV,
and waited on my superiors.
But it was no
that's protocol.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's no fear of you really getting punished for it. Okay, cool. I might lose my job. I might get fired. I might, you know, worst case, we go to try and get convicted. I might have to do probation, or get maybe 1 year, something like that, and then come out. You know, do 4 or 5 years of probation and wash my hands. I'm done. But it's no real fear in that compared to one of us. If we kill somebody, we know we're going to do 20 minimum. Even if it's a lot of times.
Don't let it be murder one. You're going down for life.
Yeah, but I mean, but a lot of times, even if it's a self-defense situation, we got to prove beyond shadow of a doubt that it's a self-defense situation. Or we're going to do 20 or life. So like that keeps citizens from, you know what I mean, from wilding as much as we would be wilding if it wasn't, you know what I mean? But just think If laws were set up to where if we went kill somebody, we can just go do 1 year and do, you know, or not even do no time, just do probation.
I don't know if y'all was paying attention when old boy was talking about, like, when he was asking him why, like, what made them pull him over, right?
Yeah.
And then the report, you know, he man, when you there, you didn't look at the report 100 million times.
He didn't.
So he knew everything. That they didn't have the speed in there. Mm-hmm. They didn't have Goddamn, he didn't even write it in that bitch. They didn't have a gun on the car, nothing. So he already knew the answers to what he was asking him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit's so cold to me. Like, bro, like, you stopped the car saying that they were speeding and they wasn't speeding.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know if they, even if they doing 50 and a 35, if you ain't got your gun out, when they go to court, it's going to say, was they really speeding?
So you got to prove that.
Exactly.
Hey, what you mean it look like I was speeding?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what he said they stopped him for at first. See, that's what he was trying to hang his hat on. Mm-hmm. And then that's when because old boy was young. Whoever that white boy was, he was younger than Force.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made him break, made him fold. And he just kept it a stack. Yeah, we profiled you. You in this beat up car, which they was.
In this rich neighborhood.
Late at night, and you're black.
$1 million houses. He said the houses start at $1 million in that neighborhood.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But he said nine times out of ten, people off the streets.
He said 9 times out of 10, something is going wrong with that whip. Something is wrong. He said, yeah, that's the price. Which I understood that. That's the price. Like, y'all want this neighborhood safe, this is the price of it. You know what I'm saying? Which is facts. That's in real life. You know what I'm saying? Even with the cars we got, man, you go one of them rich neighborhoods, goddamn me, and you out there 10 o'clock at night, and the cops see you, they going to pull your motherfucking ass over. Hey, bro, like, what you doing out here?
Mm-hmm. Over here in this neighborhood.
You get what I'm saying? Because obviously, them cops actually patrol there a lot. Mm-hmm. So with you just working over there, and you could just be strolling through the neighborhood dreaming. They're going to pull your ass over.
Rice Village out here?
Oh, man. Oh,
they got their own unit.
Oh, yeah.
We got their own unit.
For the money up.
We do too, but we ain't going to talk about that.
But yeah, so I mean, and again, that was probably one of the few things that I agree with him with as far as that. It's like, okay, it's our job to pull people over to keep the robberies, keep the shootings, different things like that from happening. Check, because I pulled him over. He got, you know, paraphernalia in the car. He got a gun in the car, different things like that. And, you know, it's our job to try to catch that. How can we catch the bad guys if we don't pull people over? He 1,000% right in that. But it's what you do after you pull the people over. Mm-hmm. Just like that situation. That man had his license. That man, you know, the insurance was expired or whatever, but he was getting ready to try to get you know what I mean, some more stuff. The kid is a kid, clearly. 14 years old, 13 years old, and it's like it just was no reason for it to get escalated like that. The dad steadily saying, hey, look, he's a kid. All he has is a phone. The kid that got out the car, he just pointing the phone at you. Like, why do you need to get aggressive and throw him on the ground or try to wrestle with him and different things like that? That's where the issue comes in. It's not the pulling over part, but it's the extra stuff that you do afterwards. Because I done been pulled over a couple times and just been let off with a warning. But, hey, you got license, insurance, registration, boom. Hey, here it is, boom, boom, whatever. You know, flashlight in the car. Okay, you know, I just pulled you over because, you know, you changed, you know, you were swerving a little bit or the light changed. And I ain't take that personal because he was, you know what I'm saying, because I understand it. If I'm driving down the street and I see a car in front of me veering, we be on the highway all the time, see cars veering 2, 3 in the morning. He's like, oh, man, this nigga drunk.
Yep, I understand. Let me stay a little back in time.
Right.
So I get some room.
Right. So if it's my duty to make the neighborhood safe or make the street safe, of course I'm going to pull that car over. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, again, it's about how you handle it. And a lot of them officers that pulled me over just kept it G. Okay, yeah, but I just want to check, make sure everything checks out. You know, just be careful getting on. I done been let off like that 4 to 5 times. So, you know, I get it, man. But it's just about how you handle things after the pullover. And then, you know, it's a lot of cops that do extra.
That shit crazy. Hey, it's a real good movie.
So he was doing extra by accident. The kid to put the phone down?
Yes, because it's his lawful right to record.
Yeah,
that's facts.
He was just irritated. He just didn't want him to record.
Right,
like a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his lawful right.
You know, I'm gonna play devil's advocate.
I feel
always.
So go ahead. If the kid had the phone, let's say he's a 14-year-old kid, he has a phone. You know, the flash on.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark outside. He has that flash on. He turns the flash towards the cop. Cop can't see. All of a sudden, the kid pulls out a gun. Bam. Cops dead. Him and his buddy.
But when does that for real? What you just said?
I
understand what you're saying, but what you just said that.
I'm just saying.
What black kid has ever done that to a cop in history?
I have no idea. I'm not saying it's not possible because it probably has been done.
Many times. Nah, bro. We ain't here. That would have been on the news somewhere.
There's a lot of kids that's running around that got guns that's shooting and killing people.
Okay, but they not shooting. Black kids not shooting and killing no cops.
I can't say yes, and I can't say
they
no
not shooting and killing no cops. That'd be on national news. A black kid gunned down a cop at 12 a.m.
I can't say yes.
That kid would be dead before he hit the precinct.
Matter of fact, we had one in Houston. That wasn't a kid though. It was an adult.
But we talking a kid.
Look, I'm just playing devil advocate here, okay? Because that guy could have said, hey, this is my kid. This is my 14-year-old kid. And it couldn't have been his kid. Come on, man. It couldn't have been.
I hear you.
And he just said, hey, put the phone down.
But you know why I'm going to push back on that? Is because he could have easily said, hey, get that flash out of my face. I can't see. He just said, stop recording me.
So he knew it was a
phone. That was my only grievance.
He knew. I thought he said, put the phone down.
He said stop. He said put the phone down, and then he said stop recording me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Before he even hopped out the car, he said that.
Plus, he had his flashlight on him too. Okay. So it's like, you got your flash on me, I got my flash on you. He'd be like, hey, turn that light off. I can't see you. He could have said that. But he just was like, you could just tell you getting just aggravated. And it's like, why are you getting so aggravated enough to be at, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree with the whole situation. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, playing devil's advocate of the whole situation. Right, right, right. Of if I was a cop in that situation, hey, put the phone down.
Right.
Come on, kid, put the phone down.
Mm-hmm.
Please put the phone down. But he wasn't doing that. He was, you know, aroused about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. But it didn't make no better with the dad screaming, put the phone down. He's just a kid, put the phone down. Now right. The whole situation is just escalating. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And that's because the kid being hard-headed, bro.
And it goes all back to training, too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
The kid was being hard-headed because he felt like he was privileged.
And that's what mm-hmm. that was my frustration mm-hmm. on their side.
Because he's going by the law.
It's like, listen to your daddy's telling you, put the phone down, bro. Right. Listen to your pops. What the hell is you doing? But it's you a gun on you, bro.
His kid never been mm-hmm. in yeah. a position of that.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So what you just reading about it and actually feeling that type of pressure, it's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's two different totally things. Like when you go to school for something, goddamn, they can teach you as much as you can goddamn fit in that brain. But once you get to putting that shit to goddamn applying that shit, if you just ain't got it there, bro, you ain't gonna be able to.
I think that's the same situation for cops. Yeah, once you get into that situation, you like, shit, I done heard a whole bunch of shit about kids being
mm-hmm.
cops getting shot by this kid, cop getting shot by this guy, this, that, and then all of a sudden you in that situation. Boom. I mean, there's like YouTube videos of guys, you know, trying to train to be a cop, you know, and they do like certain exercises
mm-hmm.
and then instantly dude's shot because he just, you know, trying to de-escalate the situation, or hey, he just turns his eyes for 1 second, all of a sudden he shot dead.
All right, look, man,
by a guy following the rules. I'm not saying he was in the right. He was totally wrong for shooting that kid.
But
period.
You know what I think, man? Like I know a cop. I ain't gonna say their name, but they was training this other cop, and through the training, you know, like you know a motherfucker. You get to know a motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? They habits and shit. He knew this cop was going to end up killing somebody, you know what I'm saying, and being in the wrong. So he told his superiors, I'm not training this motherfucker. He going to kill somebody. Bam. He get fired from there. Like like 2 years later, he get fired for all the fucking, when people be putting.
Reporting you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they fire him. He go to another precinct. He ain't even there a month. He killed somebody. You know what I'm saying? But he told his superiors, this motherfucker he should not be a cop. He is gonna kill somebody. You know they let that boy walk.
Hey, don't surprise me.
I ain't gonna say how he shot the dude, but everybody know he was in the wrong. You get what I'm saying? But they let this boy walk, man. And then another year later, they fired him. He a cop somewhere else now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's how I go, man. There's so much wrong with protocol in that regard, and just vetting people to be police officers, which is another thing. I don't feel like people do thorough enough backgrounds and thorough enough mental examinations. Because a lot of these people, just like that situation right there, it just didn't call for things to get that escalated. Even the first cop, the initial cop that was on the driver's side, he was cool. He's like, mm-hmm. look, you know, hey, just red straight spy, whatever. But he reached fast, which he did. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, wait, chill. And then, you know, at that point, that's when the other dude pulled his gun out on the kid. And that's when he asked him to step out the whip. And then while he's out the whip, he talking to him. The other dude pulled his gun out on the kid because that flash came up. So it's like it just escalated so fast and it just didn't have to get there. We talking calm. Why is it just getting to a just aggravated type of situation? You know what I'm saying? It'd be different if like the dad is arguing back and forth with the cop. Now, hell no, I ain't getting out no car. I ain't doing nothing. I got my wrist. I ain't doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it wasn't that. He's like, oh, step out of the car. All right, cool. You know, whatever. Get out the car, calm, all that. Why couldn't the conversation just stay calm? Why couldn't the situation just stay calm? And I think that's what I mean by mental evaluations, right? If you're doing thorough enough mental evaluations, you'll be able to tell, okay, this man is quick trigger, or his temper is extremely short.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have nobody in the patrol in the field with that type of situation, because you're going to run into all kind of stuff as a police mm-hmm. officer. You got to be able to maintain your cool and make a logical decision. He didn't. And that's why he ended up being in the situation he was in. But, yeah.
That's a hell of a movie, dog.
I think they need some type of diversity training, too.
Yeah,
Something like that. You just need to know how people act. Because we, like, a lot of times, black people are aggressive. Well, I won't say a lot of times, half the time. You know, you got people that are aggressive, mm-hmm. but it come from other underlying things, just like on their end. You know what I'm saying? They know how they used to be treated or were treated or are treated. You know what I'm saying? And now you got a cop pressing you for no reason. So you got that built up tension from that already. You got built up tension because you assuming that I have attitude or I want to do something to you. But it's like, no, we kind of both. I feel a certain way. You feel a certain way. Now you displaying it. And because you displaying it, I'm going to react. Mm-hmm. And so now they feel it. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's so much shit that need to be addressed, like, early on. Like, when we're growing up, we're taught how to deal with white people. We're taught, hey, everybody's not going to treat you the same. No matter how well you dress, you're still black at the end of the day. White people aren't taught to act different. You know what I'm saying? They can be themselves 24/7, but we can't. We have to act a certain way, or we'll be talked about, or this person is ghetto, or this person, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff like that. We have to fit the profile. You know what I'm saying? And even at work, if you think about it, a lot of white people, they'll be like, oh, you one of the good ones.
Yep.
The fuck you mean one of the good ones?
Yep.
Like, shit like that, like, I've never understood.
They say stuff like that.
You're not like the others,
especially in the corporate world.
Yes, several times.
I would have been in HR
several times.
Right, yeah, then there. I'd have been in HR.
And then it's like, but like, most of the black people gonna take it as a compliment, even though, like, it's gonna be an insult, but they gonna, like, accept it as a compliment. It's
mm-hmm.
because of that mentality that we have. It's a mentality of, okay, I made it out. They down there, forget the rest of them. I ain't gonna pick my hand up. I'm in position now. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of us value their approval. So we gonna deal with whatever more times. But then, you know, you run into, you know, they have somebody with a backbone that's black eventually that would cut him off right there. Like, whoa, 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 wait, no. Nah. What do you mean by that? And, like, kind of set that situation straight. But most people don't have backbone enough to do that, because they barely got to the position they in anyway. And exactly. They just happy to be there.
And plus, mm-hmm. you don't know who really in HR. You don't know who they kin to. You don't know how they got on. You don't know.
I don't give a fuck about that. If you report to HR,
man, that shit, no.
That shit gets noted, and no. then you can take it to a lawyer. I've seen it happen plenty of times.
But they don't
especially at my job.
Yeah.
Just because you don't think it's not going to, who knows somebody in HR? That's the problem right there. Y'all think we know somebody in HR, and then you don't report it, and it's just going to keep on happening over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just taking the steps and saying, hey, I'm going to stop it right there. Because once you let some shit slide, they're going to try to see how far they can push you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep on letting them push you and push you, ain't shit going to get settled. Because you think, oh, what if they know this person? What if I lose my job? What if?
I just know how niggas think, bro.
Well, I get to give you firsthand account, because I was working in HR for 3 years. How that works is, like, people in HR have relationships with all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In every department. They got a go-to person mm-hmm. that they go to. It ain't necessarily like a business relationship, but it's like, okay, I done dealt with him. We cool, that type of situation. So it's definitely relationships. And it'll be people that'll file a grievance, and they'll shelve it. They'll like, let them know. When they get the grievance, they'll call them, hey, yeah, you know, we got your report, you know, that we gonna look into it thoroughly, investigate it, yada, yada. And they'll just shelve it and put it on the shelf.
You take that report and you keep it in a file with you. Because once that shit, you have a backup plan, that same copy and over and over again.
Oh, yeah, system. Yeah, right.
And
right,
then you
right.
can take it to a lawyer. That's how you do it. Don't just put it in there and think, oh, okay, I don't need a copy of this. You have to have a paper trail just like they have a paper trail.
But you know how that goes? How it goes is that you file that report, right? And it's supposed to be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
But it don't be.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if they have somebody that they know in HR, they're going to say, hey, we got a report. Even if they don't say who it is. Say, hey, we got a report from somebody that says, you know, with some, you know, racial insensitivity, you might want to, you know, watch yourself, this, that, and the third. So now that man going to start putting two and two together, like, well, it's only two black people in this department, and I remember saying this, so now he going to make your life a living hell, but maintain plausible deniability to where you can't really apply it. To whereas, like, before that, he was giving you leeway on shit. Now you turn in something late, you getting rolled up. You know what I'm saying? It's just like it. They have ways of making your life hell.
Don't turn in shit late then.
Well, yeah.
I mean, what do y'all want me to say? I mean, like, don't turn it. Don't put yourself. Do your job. And if you're doing your job how you're supposed to be doing it, and they still giving you hell, you have a right to go and get a lawyer and file a lawsuit against them. It's happened at my job plenty of times.
Yeah.
And they're still at my job after they sued my job for that.
Man.
I know 3 people on hand that have done it. Because if you don't keep a paper trail, because if we still take that, okay, I know if I say that they racial discrimination against me, they're going to make my life hell.
But did they fire the other person?
So I'm just going to keep on. Yes, the other person's been fired.
Okay.
I'm just going to keep on taking this. I'm just going to keep on taking it because if I do say something, I'm going to get backlash. So I'm just going to keep on getting that racial discrimination over and over again and accept and then hate my job over and over again instead of just going ahead and doing something, keeping a paper trail. And once you get that paper trail, you have something to fight against. Like
the thing is, bro, you're not saying nothing wrong. And we're not disagreeing with you. What we're saying is that most people don't have the wherewithal to deal with what's going to come with mm-mm. that. Just like you said, going to hire a lawyer. Most people don't have no money for a lawyer, for one.
Most people don't.
And secondly, like I said, most people in that situation are just happy to be there. So it's a situation where you're right. He should file and go all the way to the top over his head and do what you got to do. But again, a lot of them have shown us repeatedly that they have ways of retaliating without it looking like retaliation.
Yep.
Whether or not that be.
I guarantee you, if you bring a good enough paper trail, that lawyer will not charge you until the file that lawsuit is done. And then you can make them pay for your lawyer fees. That's exactly what they do in divorce court. You don't have to pay. If you have a good enough case, you won't have to pay for that lawyer right then and there.
But that would take knowledge to know.
Yeah, but too. You got to realize most jobs are not union.
I agree with you 100%.
Hey, you are right, though.
You don't even have to be in a union. If you had a job that's union-based, you don't have to be in that union. They still have to protect you.
No. Listen to me. You talking about a union. Most people, like where B at, he's not in the union. It's not. So if they wanted to just let him go, they can just let him go. Oh, we cut back production. What can you say to that? You cannot say nothing to that.
Your position,
your
position got eliminated because we no longer need that position.
Your job got a union that's different.
They'll create the same position and just retitle it.
I'm telling you, that's what happens. Well, so niggas be having shit to protect.
If that's how y'all want to take every situation and not say nothing about any type of discrimination or some kind of racial slur that's gave against you, then we have no reason to complain about.
No, we're not saying we shouldn't. More people just need to be more knowledgeable. You're saying to take those steps. More
for us, we got things. But when you make it to, man, as a black person, when you make it to 70,000, you got a lot of shit behind you protecting.
I hear you, but
I feel you.
I'm not agreeing with it.
I understand.
But you work so hard to get to a certain position, and that's your income. That's everything falls on that, and you take a chance by doing that, and then you just happen to let go. Then what? You know what I'm saying?
So you go file a complaint.
Okay. Let's put it this way.
A month later, they hit you with.
I think people think about that. They rather not.
A month later, we gonna let you go.
They rather not lose everything and just.
And now you go from 70 to nothing.
Okay, so they let you go after you file a report? That's what they do?
Oh, no. They made a month or two. They gonna wait a month or two. They gonna wait that diligent time, and then they gonna let you. Oh, man, we cutting back production, big dog. We gonna have to let your position go. You can't go back.
I'd have to see that. I have to see that in person after you make a big step into a $70,000.
How you gonna see that when they let you go? And then
I have to see that action
it'll
actually
be,
happens.
Or it'll be small stuff like
I have to see that action happen.
It'll be small stuff like they transfer you to a smaller center. You know what I'm saying? That's underperforming, or you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. Like
that's what I mean by.
But y'all
have a myriad of ways.
Y'all are making ways for that shit to happen.
No,
that's true.
No, I ain't making. I'm telling you things out of the scene.
It can happen. Yes, those things can happen. But you also can file a lawsuit and still win.
Very much true.
Why would I take the lesson of those?
We're not disagreeing with you.
You talking about yourself. You thinking about yourself.
No, I'm not talking about the money for a lawyer
or even want
to
fight.
You always have
to
pay a lawyer right up there in front. And this is the problem we have. Because if you're the police.
Okay, so
let's say this. You make police chief. You're a black guy and police chief. Your boss is racist as hell. And you see it all the way down the front line. But you don't say nothing because you made police chief. So you just let the shit slide.
No.
That's what you're going
to
do?
They got the power to take their position from you, right?
So instead of losing your job and the position that you're in, you're going to let racism be spread down upon to your black peers.
Most people take that trade-off.
I'm just asking you, that's what you
Most people take that trade-off. But most people take that trade-off. Most black people, trust me, I see it. They take that trade-off. and they become one of them.
I can't. I can't say that one.
I'll tell you what happened. Just like you said, you can sue them. You can go to court. Thing is that them big companies got way more money than you, and they gonna protect they brethren more so than they gonna protect you. So when you go to court, file that lawsuit, they gonna say, all right, cool, let's go. And they gonna drag that out for years, 2, 3, 4 years down the line. That whole time, you gotta work. You gotta like go find another job, but you can't use them as no reference now. Cause y'all are in legal battles. So now I gotta put my life on hold for 4 to 3, 4, sometimes maybe 5 years before they get them settlements and settle these cases. All because I want to be a pioneer or in, like that. That's not going to pay my bills. And that's what a lot of black people be thinking about. Because, again, you're right. You can't go to court. But that's not no quick process. It ain't going to be, okay, you know what? We're going to court next week. You know, this is the evidence, blah, 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 blah. It's done. Settlement goes out. No, it don't work like that. If I got money, we're going to drag that in court. We're going to prolong. We're going to push it back.
Just because you make a lawsuit against that company doesn't mean they can fire you. If you make a lawsuit against that company, they can't fire you because you made a lawsuit against them. They can't do that.
Yeah, but they can make your life a living so hell you while you're there, though. That's the thing, though.
I mean, but your life going to be a living hell because you're taking racism and slurs against yourself.
Your job that's perfect?
How is that? How
do
is
you know
that
anybody at your job that's perfect? Anybody.
I'm not perfect.
So your first slip up, I give a fuck what it is.
They waiting on you.
They going to let you go.
They waiting on you.
They going to let your first. I'm talking, nigga, you can be a 2 minutes like, okay, oh, man, we're going to let you go.
Y'all, okay, y'all making this. Okay.
No, that's how they do it.
Y'all just making the situation to where it's in your favor.
No. I'm telling you what I've seen, bro. This shit is not fair. It's not up and down like that.
You've seen that, and I've seen it too. And I know it's not fair because life is not fair at work right now either. So it's not going to be fair when you do the lawsuit. It's not fair at work. Right,
Kenny. But
so what's the difference?
Okay, but how many people are thinking that far ahead again?
People have families.
People have 2, 3, 4 kids.
That's the thing.
And why would I go a lawsuit and possibly lose my job when I have mouths to feed? That's what people think
that's
about.
Facts.
So I'd rather shut my mouth and do better at my job.
Take one for the team.
And to keep my family and keep these lights on.
And then grow in a position to where I can change things.
Thank you. And
that's the right.
I'd rather take one little small L, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But I know how to now deal with that person. I know how to cover my ass with that person. You can't. I get what you're saying, though. But when you have shit to lose, you're not trying to fight the system and do all this extra stuff. Then that's the problem, though. That is a problem. It is a problem because you should. You absolutely should fight the system and do more and take risks.
But that's risky.
The chances against us are not. It sucks. That's all it is. It sucks. So they rather, like I said, they rather just deal. I'm gonna take this L. I have mouths to feed. I got mama need. You know, saying mama, granny needs some money every other week or whatever. All these people depend on me.
My kids in private school. Like,
remember,
kids
the average nationwide average is like 40,000 a household. You know, people can't lose one. People are living check to check. A lot of people living check to check. So it's like, I'm gonna take this L.
Yeah, which is why I say you're not wrong
and
we're not disagreeing.
In no way, you are not wrong.
And we just giving you that other side. These things really do happen. So it's like you gotta weigh it.
I understand they do happen. I understand. Mm-hmm. I know they happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if we don't take action on them, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
I know this happens. Yeah. So it's going to keep on happening because we don't take action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But which is why we need to be more focused on getting in position to be able to dictate how this situation
is ran. You'll never be in that position. You know why? Because they already putting that racism on you from the jump. From the jump. You think that person that's talking hard to you is gonna let you get a promotion before them?
No. But sometimes these people leave the company and now I done got elevated. It's a situation. Say for instance at mine, my old boss, I can't say her name, but she was at the company 12 years and then ended up being a director. And she had it was some white folks over there that she had issues with. She telling me all this on the after I had been working there a couple months or whatever. She said I had to put up with a lot to get my position. But now that I got it, You see, it's way more diverse around here. Because when I first got here, it was me and two other black folks. But now you see 12, don't you? And I'm the one in charge of bringing these people in. You know what I'm saying? So that's more the role or the mindset that I would take in regards to it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to play the game to get to the position to change the game. And that's what, you know, I feel like we should be more focused on, and rather
I hate the black people that play the game to get there and then don't, do help us.
Right, right. Which is another situation. But I would much rather that route than to try to fight a system and I don't have my money or my guns. And like, we're not playing with the same resources. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to lose more times than not in that situation. And you're right. If you don't never fight, how can you
never make change?
But I feel like you got to be more focused on getting in position to change things rather than trying to change things from the bottom. You throwing rocks at the stars, essentially. Because, again, these people up there is cool. These people up there go golfing together. These people up there go to happy hours all the time. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you may feel like you got some refuge. I can go to HR, report this man, and everything going to go down the line how it's supposed to. It don't. I'm here to tell you it don't. I done worked in that HR office, and I done seen a report get brought up, and then somebody will call my coworker. I ain't going to say his name, but they'll call him, and he'll be like, hey, man, I got to, you know, such and such. You might want to look out. You know, such and such reported this on you. You know, hey, just be careful. That type of thing. And then watch him shelve it instead of pushing it through the proper protocols the way it's supposed to, because that's my homie. So, like, in more times than not, most people that file that report or file it, and then go back to working regular after they done got word or whatever, and it'll just disappear. Or that person will miraculously or find a way to get let go 5 months down the line, 6 months down the line. Mm-hmm. So now it don't matter.
Right.
So it's like, again, that's why I say sometimes you got to play the game to get in position to change the game.
That's very true.
That's my view on it. But again, you're not wrong.
At all.
Again, that's not what we're saying. All right, on to the next thing. We done been on this for about an hour.
Good job, fellas.
What we had on time? 18 minutes. Okay, we got time. Recently, man, there was a story that broke out. It was two chicks that's from the States that went to Bali. Mm. And they end up letting some tweets off in regards to like how they was living. And
talking about them chicks. Oh, and they sent them back. Yeah.
Sent them back.
Okay, so let me you know, update everybody that may not be privy to it.
Bro,
they said, yeah,
did them dirty. Watch this.
The government of Bali, Indonesia, deported two black women back to the United States after one tweeted that the island was quote unquote queer friendly and provided a luxury lifestyle at a low cost. Kristen Gray and her girlfriend, Sandra Michelle Alexander, moved to Bali in 2019.
Is it Bali or Bali?
Bali. Whatever, man. Bali. I say you went to public school. Man. Public school.
Get that vernacular right.
You know what I mean? In now protected tweets, Gray said she had been broke, quote unquote broke, struggling to find work the entire year. Since she wanted to take a stab at entrepreneurship and was having no success at home, Gray said that she and her girlfriend booked one-way tickets to the island, though they hadn't planned on staying permanently when the coronavirus pandemic hit. Gray said they was hunkered down to, quote unquote, wait it out. And the move was the perfect medicine. Gray said that not only was her graphic design business thriving, but being able to work in Bali as a digital nomad was helping her heal from childhood traumas. She also said that Bali, which is the world's largest Muslim majority country, known to be stern in its views against homosexuality, was friendly to the LGBTQ community. Gray and her girlfriend were able to live there in luxury at a fraction of what it would cost in the United States. Mm-hmm. Said, quote unquote, the island has been amazing because of our elevated lifestyle at a much lower cost of living. I was paying $1,300 for my LA studio. Now I have a treehouse for $400.
What?
Oh, yeah, Bali cheap. It was stupid too.
Bali is real cheap.
Great view and everything, bro.
Yeah, he said she concluded her tweet thread with a promotion for her ebook, Our Bali Life Is Yours, in which she encouraged other people to move there during the pandemic and gave them tips on how to finesse the system. Say many of the Indonesians were angered by the tweets. Some said she was encouraging people to move to their home in the middle of a pandemic, basically, I guess, to poison their, you know, situation, exploiting her Western privilege and that she may have evaded taxes in doing so.
We gonna get you.
They said other critics said that she did it as a form of gentrification that could potentially hurt the native Indonesians if more Americans follow suit. But yeah, so long story long, they went out there and was bragging about this is a country that's completely against, you know, the gay lifestyle. And she basically went out there, tweeted, said, yeah, we didn't duck taxes. We out here getting to the bag. I'm living great and I'm gay and I'm still here and ain't nothing they can do about it. Well, they did something about it. The government got hold of them tweets and deported them right back to the States.
Which immediately.
Straight up.
You shouldn't have said nothing.
That's the problem of putting all your problem. Business on social media.
Bingo. That's a fact. Yep.
Bingo. That's when you talk too much. You want to be seen.
You got house.
To be seen.
You was in the treehouse. Now you back in the
and
studio.
And they seen your ass, all right. Oh, yeah? Bring that ass here. You know what? We need that money, too. We need that money. What you made over here, we need half of that, and we sending your ass back.
And Bali is nice too, man.
Damn, yeah, I seen the pictures.
Ooh, and you know what's crazy? They probably blacklisted they ass, so they can't even go back.
Oh yeah, you already know.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
you already know that.
They'll never see Bali again. I hope they got pictures.
Of the treehouse. Hell yeah, but nice. But, yeah, that was an interesting situation, man. More of that story is keep your business to yourself when you done hit the lick. And came up. Stop trying to tell everybody about
the finesse the game
anything.
Online.
Exactly. Styling.
Stupid ass.
And I get it though. They trying to put other people on game, but no. that ain't how you do it.
They was on that stunt.
That's not how you do it.
It was on that stunt and they was talking wild. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You can't be talking wild, especially about, you know,
in another country.
Knowing that, man. Like,
I don't know.
But in another country where they slaving and starving.
Right.
Because if it's $400 for us, come on, man. You know what it costs.
I'll be out there cooking. 400?
But for them, for the people that already live that's from there, you know that 400 is hard to come by for them.
Right, right.
So they really, really finessing. Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, y'all ass got
to
go.
1,300 to four?
Boy.
Yeah. Bro.
In the treehouse?
That's almost a rack a month, bro. That's insane.
Mm. All right, moving right along. Okay, a couple episodes back, we reported on Masika. And let me give a little update on, you know, or background on the story. Basically,
10 years.
A man waited 10 years in the friend zone. She said she looked over him repeatedly, curved him for what she said 75% of that time period.
97% of the time, something like that.
And you know, he waited his turn. Finally, got in there enough to be able to date her. Got engaged. And this situation broke, and the whole time I was like, yeah, that's the patience. That's what a man that's persistent do, and yada, yada, yada. And if y'all remember on this podcast, I remember saying it because I was there when I said it. This is not going to last. I said that.
Man's
I remember that.
Sucker out here.
Recently, yesterday, the engagement has been broken off by Masika. Do you guys want to speak to maybe why that might have happened?
Come on, man. Come on, man. Whole lollipop out here. Hope you ain't buying nothing. Damn, man. 10 years of waiting and you gotta go through this.
Better go to Bali.
Kenny, you right. He might be crazy. He might choke her now. Damn, man.
Niggas like that. You take all that time. I'm waiting 10 years.
And then she get with you and then she like, you know what? This engagement ain't for me.
I see why I curved you for 97% of the time.
You knew she ain't like you. 10 years of getting curved. Oh. Dog, so she does not for 10 years strong. Oh. 10 years.
Okay,
10 years is a long time.
She the one that said that she was engaged, right? Like, didn't she post that she had got engaged and all that?
Correct, happily.
Duh, to that's make the other nigga that she just broke up with
man,
jealous.
That's correct. It.
That's crazy.
Nigga, I had correct. Somebody in the wing anyway. But if you coming back,
And then he said, oh, so you really marrying this nigga?
You know what?
You right. I'm done.
Which was exactly the point that we was making, bro. Any woman that'll make you wait, anybody that'll make you wait 10 years and go online and publicly admit to curving you
for 10 years.
She had a percentage. 97%.
She did have a percentage.
That means for 9.7 years.
9.7.
She was repeatedly reiterating why you would never have a chance. And then all of a sudden out the blue, boom. Hey, you know what? I changed my mind. Let's give it a shot. And you thought that you was going to have a realistic way of standing. She never respected you as a man from day one. How did you think that was going to change? It's because she done folded and gave you a second. Because now she done fell off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Got a kid now. Just different things like that. Because that's what we speak to all the time. Most of them women that be curving you hard like that, sometimes you got to wait to get them on the clearance rack. And that's what you did. Mm-hmm. And you thought you done came up. I done got me a little steel. Nah, I done, you know, I done got. No, you didn't.
Somebody mistakenly put it on the clearance.
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh,
they try to finesse this game. Hey, I seen this on the clearance rack.
No.
It was 97% off.
That boy's so stupid.
Rest said, no, put that back.
Oh,
that ain't yours.
Say,
God has to be more careful, baby.
Whole sucker out here. Lollipop.
Damn. Should have stayed with him. Good job.
You know what's crazy? He probably still going to be on the wing side. You know what?
Of course.
Hey, I will always be here for you. You know what I'm saying? I'll be that kid daddy.
I'll be that kid daddy.
Look, man. Baby daddy.
Fetty Wap.
Fetty Wap.
Look, if Fetty Wap don't want to come see that child, I'm that child daddy.
He only got one eye. I got two.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
He only got 2 days with it, too.
I care less who you date, baby. I'll always be your wingman.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Damn.
Always be in the wings.
More to that story, man. Value yourself. Anybody that you got to chase to be with, for them to give you time of day, is not worth being
with.
She
cold too though. Made that nigga wait and only was with the nigga for 4-5 months and say, you know what, I'm done with this shit.
And if I had to guess, I bet she kept the ring. Bet she did.
Ooh. How long was it? The engagement was, what, a week long, I think?
Something like that.
But we just talked about that.
It was like, yeah, because we brought that up like 2 weeks ago. I think, I can't remember exactly, but I know it wasn't that long ago.
2 weeks? Two, 3 weeks? So at the max, let's say 3-4 weeks. 3-4 weeks she was engaged to him, right? Damn. Damn.
I ain't got shit to say to him. Good job. What's her name?
Masika.
Masika, congratulations.
Welcome to Sleaze. Welcome to the Sleaze. Tell that other nigga, don't ever step on the premises. Yeah. It's not allowed over here. Whole sucker out here.
Okay, moving right along. This is a little more of a serious situation. I'm just going to play the clip. I'm not going to even introduce it. I'm going to just play the clip and because it's self-explanatory, and I want to get y'all's opinions on it.
She says it happened after she turned down one man's offer to pay for her. CBS 2's Lisa Rosner spoke exclusively with the victim.
Surveillance video shows a group outside this liquor store as a woman walks in alone just before 6 p.m. Monday. The 31-year-old mother says she was buying a bottle of wine after work when two men walked in the shop on West 128th Street and St. Nicholas Avenue. She says the man in the red offered to pay.
I politely declined and I said, you know, no thank you, but thank you. I could pay for it myself. And I got ready to walk out. Before I walk out, he basically said that he felt like I thought that I was better than them.
The men followed her out, she says, asking what did she want to do about it.
I just asked him, I said, like, you're seriously like trying to fight me? Like, I'm trying to go about my business.
She says they chased her across the street, kicking her, and one man actually bit her forehead, leaving deep wounds. She says he tried to bite her eye out. Others kicked her.
To bite me and do that, maul me the way that he did, with me screaming and saying that I'm just trying to get my daughter, that's an animal. That's not a person.
Witnesses tell me multiple people called 911. The woman was taken to NYC Health and Hospital's Harlem in stable condition. During the attack, she says her iPhone fell on the ground, and when she went to grab it,
he pried the phone out my hand. He's like, give me your phone.
She says afterwards, someone told her to run because one of the men had done this to someone else before and could come back. The woman, who has not been able to open one eye, says the suspects need to be caught immediately so other people going about their day don't fall prey. In Harlem, Lisa Rosner, CBS 2 News.
Thoughts?
Stomp them niggas out.
This a bad look for Harlem, baby.
Stomp them niggas
bad
out.
Bad look for Harlem.
Bitch ass niggas, dog. I hate shit like that.
You gotta shoot them.
I hate shit like that, bro.
Yeah.
Y'all, all of them some bitches. All of them.
So if they would have paid for the drink, they'd have wanted that ass.
That shit pissed me off, bro.
Over a $5, $8 wine? Come on, bro.
How you bite?
Come on, bro.
Jumped her. All because she...
How you go to bite somebody?
They like, jumped
it's
her.
Like when I heard, I'm just like, what? But that's the type of stuff, man. And
what are you on?
That's the type of stuff that women be dealing with, bro.
I need to start checking y'all partners, man.
And that's the thing. Just like you said, it's a group of men out there. So that means
all the partners down with it.
Yeah, everybody cool with that. Everybody like you sit like you helping them. You engaging in it. You ain't try to step in and bro, what are you doing? Nothing. You just went along with it.
Yeah, they need to be shot in the
like
face.
What does that say about you as a grown man, bro? Like you took.
The fact that it's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be shot in the face.
I wonder if it's at the same location. See, I couldn't be a cop. See, that's the problem right there. I'd be staked out right there for months straight.
Mm-hmm. Now, I couldn't be no cop and seen it. I'd be in regular clothes, and when it happened,
I just go peel them right there. Peel them.
Yeah, I seen something today. They was talking about how like a bunch of citizens from the community done gathered at that liquor store that they basically gonna start patrolling it, community patrol now, to make sure that don't happen again, because that and it happened there a couple times. So they saying that they saw like a big crowd that was out there saying, yeah, we're not gonna stand for this, you know, this is our community, we can't be letting things like this happen. So people done stepped up and, you know, they said that they gonna, you know, have a patrol.
And you know what's crazy? Patrol. Them same motherfuckers, when they do catch them, they gonna have their hand in somebody's pocket when they get to jail. With their head down.
Oh, yeah, facts.
If you don't know that, facts. If you don't know what that means, look at them.
Kool-Aid, with Kool-Aid on their lips.
I'm surprised they ain't found them, man. Yeah. Them pictures too clear of their faces, dog.
Yeah, it's real.
Somebody, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, y'all got to.
Yeah,
that big-ass red bubble jacket. Like, niggas don't know you got that big-ass red bubble jacket. What nigga walking around here with a red bubble jacket? Come on, bro.
Yeah, it's just wild, interesting, man. But when you think about it and like put yourself in a situation, just women's situation in general, like that's what they be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When they be talking about, you know, I got to worry about more when I go outside the crib.
Mm-hmm. Cause
if that's a dude, if that's one of us, like that typically not, it ain't gonna happen like that. Because for one, they ain't gonna have no reason to be, you know, offering to buy us anything or feeling rejected. You know what I'm saying? She hurt his ego when she said, nah, I'm cool. I can pay for it myself. I'm good. I don't want that.
Bitch ass.
And he just lost it. You know what I'm saying? But like we as men, we don't have to worry about that when we get, you know what I'm saying? When we reject a chick or something like that. But
she rejected it, right? And she went through that. So right. What if he'd have bought the shit?
Then he would have probably wanted to get a number after that. Or
pressed her anyway.
Yeah. He still would have. Because so he would have felt way. Like, you know, you were talking about like he paid for it. So he would expect something back.
Ladies, get you a gun, man. Get your deuce deuce, man. And when shit like that going on, let them hit you one time, man. Just let them hit you one time. And then just smoothly pull that pistol out and kill everybody on the block.
That's straight up.
Kill everything moving on the block.
Because everybody out there deserves to get shot.
If he got a dog in his hand, hit the dog too. Everything got to go down. And then call the police and sit there with his dead body like, bro, I told you. I've been looking for this day. Thank you.
That's the only way people gonna learn, though. That's the only way some men gonna learn.
Get you a gun, man, that you can pack in that person.
That's the only way some men gonna learn. That's unfortunate. And y'all need to start holding y'all niggas, y'all boys, more accountable, and start knocking them niggas out, disassociating yourselves.
Bingo.
For real.
Bingo.
Because that shit is unacceptable.
Damn, man.
Yeah, Kenny pulled up a very profound tweet, bro. You want to go on and read that?
When Dave Chappelle made that joke saying, this actually hit home, but he said, I got paid $25,000 when I was 17 and was scared to walk around with it in a backpack because I never had something somebody wanted. I knew they would kill me if they knew I had this money. Now imagine having a pussy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's real. Exactly.
That's real.
That's real rap, bro. So it's like, you know, that's the fear. That's the constant thing that women got to walk around everywhere with. I'm talking about jogging. I'm talking about going to the movies. I'm talking about going just to the grocery store.
Gas station.
This situation.
So take the trash out.
Everything. They got to always have their head on the swivel, always be looking around, always be this truck. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we as men, we got to start understanding that and start moving accordingly and go out of your way to make women feel comfortable.
Keep your hands to your fucking self.
Yeah, keep your hands and then your comments too. Because a lot of niggas be doing that. She'll turn them down. Oh, fuck you then, bitch. Different things like that, dog, bro.
Bow!
You gotta stop that.
Shoot
them
right there. Just shoot them.
And just like O said, you know, the onus for that is on us. We gotta, we as men, we hear, see anything like that going on, we gotta check that, bro. Especially people that's in your circle. Just like I said, it's 8 dudes out there in there. Not one in the group would be like, hey, bro, relax. What are you doing? Nobody did.
They all with it.
It's like that. That speaks volumes,
bro. If he had to pay for it, they'd all raped her.
Straight up.
For real.
So it's like, you know, I don't even know what to say on that.
Keep that pistol on you, the baby. Bro. Keep that pistol on you at all times. So little deuce ain't going to cost you nothing but $200. You know what I'm saying? You can get you some bullets from one of your kinfolk. You know what I'm saying? And shit, keep that shit on you at all times, man.
Yeah. Straight
all
up
and times.
Down. Damn.
All right, on that note, man, we're going to get into the quick hit segment. Recently, it was a song released from Danny Lay. Called Yellow Bone.
Fam, did y'all listen to this song first?
No.
I hadn't heard it. I've been trying to find it, but I can't find it on Apple Music.
Fam.
Is it a mixtape record?
It must not be.
I'll tell you. Is it called Yellow Bone?
Yeah.
Is it on YouTube?
You might have to find it on Twitter. When she was
she might have pulled it down after she got flat.
Yeah, I hope she did. What's going on with the song? Let me know. What's up?
The song's trash, dog.
Yeah, but what's she talking about?
I can't find it.
In a yellow bone.
I have no idea what she was saying.
She ain't a yellow bone.
But so basically, she was like praising, you know, yellow bone women. She didn't say nothing flagrant, but she's just like bringing attention, like praising, like basically saying men prefer yellow bones over everything else. You know,
she's Dominican or something.
So I'm going to get y'all, I guess, review.
I think I had the song saved for
me. Can't find it.
And who did that?
The chick named Danny Lay. That's
the baby talking to right now.
Yeah. Okay, so did this. So it was only a snippet came out?
Yeah, it was like on live.
Oh, okay, I got you. Hold on.
Yellow bonus, what do you want? What do you want? Yellow bonus, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Butter, Miguel, say, butter, 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 butter,
that's why I said it was trash.
Yellow, what do you want? What do you want?
It's the song for real?
Yeah, yeah.
Watch this. Do my dance on the stick. When he shoots, he don't miss. Tight grip, wife this. Real bitch, don't switch.
Now the beat go hard.
Hey,
the beat.
That sound like a lot of rap music today.
But what the fuck was
that sound
saying?
Like a lot of rap music today. Don't lie. Don't lie.
And that's why I don't listen to that shit. I can't tell you because I don't listen to that shit.
Don't lie. All she did was put her own vocals on some shit that's already. Ooh, bro, that sound like rap today.
I never heard that. I seen people tweeting about it, but I hadn't listened to it.
That's a beat from rap today.
That beat go hard, though.
How about get up? What he do?
But her, I don't know which.
Okay, so. I didn't even know. Okay, so just I guess the theme of the song is like praising yellow bones or whatever. So my question for the quick is this: Do y'all feel like men have a preference more so for light skinned women than others? Take yourself out of the equation.
Yes,
other men.
Yes, because like, they glamorizing the videos. Been doing it. Leg in the window, you know, half passenger seat on. They ain't going to, what's saying, you got these, Wayne?
Yeah.
Yellow bone, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, everybody talk about yellow bones. Everything is yellow. Wayne yellow this.
Wayne said, I bet my bitch look better red. Yeah, he did say.
He said, I bet my bitch look better red. He said it several times. Mm-hmm. The Gucci said it on Lemonade. Yep. I mean, like, a lot of, they always talk about yellow. Yellow this, yellow that. You know what I'm saying? Or foreign. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They always talk about yellows or foreign. That's just what society, you know what I'm saying? But I don't have no preference. But society makes it, but that's everything to even movies. Think about movies in the 90s. Like, you always had a lot of light-skinned lead characters in roles, and it's always been like that. Mm.
Kenny, do you think men have a preference?
Kitty bias.
My boy a little sensitive Kitty about bias. This situation.
I like light-skinned women. That's my preference. I like light-skinned women. I'm not saying I wouldn't date a dark-skinned woman, because I haven't dated a dark-skinned woman, actually. Mm. But I've only dated two women anyway, so. Have I been with a dark-skinned woman? Yeah, plenty of them. But. No.
When you say been with them.
Don't say that.
Let's unpack. When you say
we're not going to.
Yes, we are, because you went there.
I've been with both sides. I just prefer light-skinned women. That's just me. That's what I like.
Gotcha. But see, this is the grievance, right? A lot of black women say this on the timeline. They'll be like the only time men say good things about a dark-skinned woman is when they praising her physical features. But as far as, like, if she doesn't have, like, crazy curves or nothing like that, then they won't really acknowledge them in that fashion. So they feel like it's more of a fetish when men, like, speak on darker-skinned women. But when it comes to, like, all women, they'll say, you know, or like, when it comes to their standard of what beauty is, they'll start naming qualities that light-skinned women have. That's their grievance. Mm. Do I feel like there's some truth to that? Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Do women prefer light skin or darker skin men? What do you see with that?
They would say that you're deflecting.
Of course. That's right.
Of course they would.
Of course they would.
They would say that you're deflecting.
Because I've seen, you know what I'm saying, back in the day, they used to love Shamar Moore. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like niggas like that, they used to praise all the time.
Yeah, Drake today.
They used to make fun of dark skinned niggas all the time. You know what I'm saying? Unless you had like a Morris Chestnut. You know, he was like one of the rare. Right. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that many that they was just praising. It was always a yellow skin, a light skinned dude.
But see, I think it works in the opposite way now. I think women more so like lust after dark skinned men than light skinned men. Or at least they say that.
Because you will see, I mean, what you see, a darker skinned guy with a lighter skinned woman a lot of times.
And
that's never talked about.
Right. And the reason is that they say it's a masculinity thing. Say, you know, darker skinned men, they feel more protected. They feel more, you know, whatever.
Protected.
Yeah.
Because they feel the darker you are,
you definitely know that. Anytime you talk about light skinned nigga, what y'all say? Be soft.
Yeah. You acting light skinned.
That's a fact. You acting light skinned. You acting light
skinned. But that's,
I don't even know a negative connotation with a dark skinned man.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. You be a lot.
What?
Hey, this dark skin
ugly.
Is hard to
they
carry,
call him
man.
Ugly.
Black, can't see him.
Black, monkey. All type of shit.
It's dark skin.
I'm saying whenever you see you acting light skin, like nobody says you acting dark skin.
You too aggressive.
You acting light skin.
You too aggressive.
Here come this pretty boy, light skin.
Why you always mad?
Here go this light skin dude being pretty. You don't say, oh, here go this dark skin dude being pretty.
But I just said,
here go this dark skin dude.
It's negative. It's negative. It's like for the, but at the same time, like for the light skin, it's like more praise. Not necessarily praise, but you talk down, but a lot of times it is praise, and darker skinned people, they talking down on them. Like I said, they calling them names, calling them ugly, saying they too aggressive. That's you know real. What I'm saying? Saying they mean.
No, bro. Yes. No. I've never heard a light skinned dude go up to a dark skinned dude and the first joke whenever they're speaking or anything. If they say anything, you acting dark skinned.
That's because
if I say anything,
that's because niggas.
Here come this light skinned dude.
I got one. They'll say dark skinned, you a field nigga.
When has anybody said that? Like just as as a joke, straight up.
A lot of times. I've heard that a lot as a joke.
Hey.
Come on, dog.
Especially coming up. Hey, I can't ride with y'all on that.
I can't ride with y'all on that. I've heard plenty of times from y'all. Here you go acting light skinned. Here go this pretty boy being
light skinned. Look,
okay, you said that. Now have I ever said anything? Here go to you acting dark skinned. No, have I ever said that to you?
No,
ever.
You just called him fat and ugly.
That's all you call him.
I could call anybody fat and ugly. But did I refer to your skin tone?
No, but
you know what it is? You know what it is? The thing is, like, the difference as far as when dark skinned men get the negative connotation is from society. More so than
from us insulting each other.
It's more of a society thing. Like,
because I don't think black men we insult each other like that. You get what I'm saying? As far as with our color, like black women do.
I'm telling you, we'll say like somebody acting light skin.
Is that really an insult for a man?
Insult. You talk about my skin tone. That is an insult.
Yeah. Come on, man.
You calling them soft?
Insult
for a dude to tell you that?
That's still an insult.
You calling them pretty? You calling them soft?
So pretty and soft now?
Like a lady.
Pretty and soft.
Your hands are soft like a lady.
Pretty and soft.
Yes. That's what the connotation of it is.
Yeah. Y'all niggas.
Who do you call pretty? You call women pretty, right?
Y'all niggas is tripping, fool.
See, that's what the connotation is. That's the problem right there.
You're deflecting.
I am deflecting.
You are,
smooth.
Just because I'm calling a woman pretty don't mean that she goddamn soft.
But if you call a man pretty, what you calling them?
Huh?
If you call a man pretty, what does that mean?
I would never call a man pretty, I would never do that.
Okay, but if you say you're acting light skinned.
What you saying?
What's that connotation mean?
What does that mean?
I'm not saying in the way, hey, you acting pretty. I'm never saying it like that.
Okay, so what are you
pretty
saying?
Pretty aside, so what are you saying?
Whatever we talking about.
Which is what?
Whatever the conversation is. That's what I'm using it for.
But what is the connotation behind it?
You know what I'm saying?
What does it mean when you saying that? What are you referencing?
I'm not referencing you soft. I'm not thinking of no man and no soft nothing together. Nothing.
I don't know.
He can be goddamn clear. I'm not thinking about no soft with no
like,
man.
So if instead of saying you acting like a light skin, what other word would you use?
I don't know. Because I rarely ever even say that. I rarely say Kenny acting light skin. Or be acting light skin.
Okay.
I barely say that. I rarely say it. When do I ever say that for real? I don't say that.
Ask Otis or B. I'm not even going to answer that question.
They say that. I don't say that like that.
Why would I? I don't like skin. Why would I say that?
I don't say that like that. When I say, if I'd have said that, I'd have said it on the show. Hey, go, hey, I want y'all to look it up, man. When I ever said you acting light skin or referencing it as person. Pretty, I don't let.
Thing is this. Thing is this. Move in regard. Like let's say for instance you're right, but you aside, it's a negative connotation generally behind it.
It is.
People say you acting light skin when they say, oh, you acting too pretty, you acting too feminine, you acting soft. That's what that entails. Yeah, you ain't got, you know what I'm saying? So
you don't have enough grit in you and all that. Right. I understand it.
So that's the that's what Kenny's saying when he's saying like light skinned people don't say that about somebody black in regard like what can you say about somebody acting dark skinned? There's nothing to that. You can't.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying?
But most of the time I didn't hear it when I hear it, most of the time, especially with men, like it's in a joking manner. You get what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
It's not in no like, damn, you acting light skinned, like it's dead ass serious.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
we understand that, but still, why do you have to bring? Shit. Yeah, why do you have to bring up the man's skin tone?
Shout out Cove.
Hey, man.
It's still.
When you light skinned, you get a lot of more privileges than the niggas that's outside.
That's true as well.
You get a lot.
That's true too.
The rules bend for you a little bit.
That's facts. Because white folks feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
With you compared to somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, but if I'm in a group full of white people, I still stand out as a black guy.
That's true. Absolutely.
If I'm in a group full of dark skinned people, I stand out as a white guy.
Absolutely.
It's true.
Nah.
You're never the sore thumb in a situation like that, bro. Ever.
Well, if it's say it's a room full of white people and it's you and him.
Nigga, I'm gonna
get
stand
more
out.
Welcome.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
that's facts.
Because I relate with them more.
Right.
But let's say I'm in a room with him and all dark skinned people. He's gonna get more welcome, right?
Yeah.
But let's say he's in.
I don't know.
It's two rooms. Let's make two rooms: a white room and dark skin.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You in a room with white people? Uh-huh. You gonna be the black guy, right?
Oh, nigga, I'm gonna be the nigga in the room with the ER.
Man, I'm about to bleep that out. We gonna get flagged.
Damn, nah. Hey,
let's say you in a room with a full everybody's dark skin. You welcome. You just another black dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now say I'm in a room full of white people. What am I?
You still a nigga?
I'm a black dude. Yeah. Say I'm in a room with a full room of dark skin people. What am I?
Your brother. Your brother.
White
dude. No, you ain't no white dude.
No, you're
not. You ain't, bro.
You just the lightest. You just the lightest.
That's who stands out?
But they don't mean
in both groups, who stands out?
You.
In one group. You only stand out in one group. I stand out in two groups. Do you not see?
But if I walk in a room full of light skinned people, I stand out in the group.
Right.
Now you're making three groups.
No, I'm saying if he took your same situation.
Yeah, if I took your same situation, if I went in a room full of your colors in that motherfucker, I'm going to be the dark nigga in the room.
That he might steal.
They looking at me like I'm going to steal something. They looking at you like you possibly could
steal
something.
He tall, he big,
he's
aggressive.
But that's because you are going to steal.
See,
what you say, Smooth? You look like you're
still. You look like you're still.
Your hands look real sticky.
Your hands.
All I'm saying is stop using light-skinned people as a joke, goddammit. Stop using our skin tone as a joke.
Shit. I mean, but everybody use it. Even
but
because
everybody use it don't mean it's right.
I know. Right. But I'm saying like, but that's ingrained even when you're a kid. Because like even my mama would tease my brothers. I'm like, all right, now you acting light-skinned. And my mama light-skinned.
Right.
But so
does it make it right?
No, I'm just saying like
it ain't right. We just understand
so
that light skinned people get more privileges in this country.
That ain't what my point was. But
they get more privileges. That's just what it is.
It's still a negative connotation.
It is. But
that's why I say it.
Especially light skinned
like,
women.
Yeah.
They get more.
Yeah. Privileges. Oh yeah.
Light skinned women. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You get what I'm saying?
Definitely. Because you look at every commercial, you look at every
and
music
that's
video.
And pisses off
80-90% of the women is white.
And they you could tell they're trying to, it's just slightly off, but they're trying to blend more families too, if you see it. They be trying to blend it'll be a black mom, but she'll be like a lighter skin with like a white dude or something like that. And the kids are lighter skin. Mm-hmm. They try to make it like kind of even, like one shade.
But you got women that play into that as well. They'll say, I want a kid that got good hair.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want a kid that got, you know what I'm saying? So it's like women play into that as well. But, you know, again, just both sides of the spectrum is plight to mm-hmm. be discussed.
For sure, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But to answer the question, do I feel like men have a more of a preference for light-skinned women? I would say yes, generally.
Yeah.
Me personally, no.
No, yeah, me neither.
You know what I'm saying? But
nah.
Kenny, yeah, but anyway.
What? What about light skinned women?
Yeah.
I prefer that. That's my preference.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Which is the thing. They say that you can prefer one, but you know, as long as you're not talking down on the other ones.
Yeah.
But
if you look good, you look good.
That's it.
Yep. Okay, on to the next one. This is a tweet that somebody sent me. It says, this girl on Clubhouse said men need to start dating women that they actually like instead of dating certain women to impress other men. Is there truth to that? Do y'all feel like men date certain women to impress other men more so than them actually liking her?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. Like women being trophies. They just being on the arm, you know, helping them elevate. Mm-hmm. Or she just, you know, for the moment, for the little few months, you want to be out on the scene with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Get your roster up, stuff like that. So, yeah. It's not right. But, yeah, men do it. I think it's...
That's all about to ask. Where do you think that stems from?
I don't know. Really, a lot of times, shit, niggas just don't be ready to get married. They just be trying to date, play the scene.
No. I mean, what is... How is that ingrained in somebody to where somebody, an outside third party can create your preference for you?
But it's about having the best. Like, what you buying Gucci and Louis for? You trying to impress somebody, right? You trying to impress the outside forces of this shit, right? Because if you ain't have nobody to impress, you can go get that shit from Walmart. That's just what it is. And it's the game we playing.
And that I agree with, but that's material things. I'm talking about interest in somebody that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. How can a third party influence who you choose but that
most
much?
Most people that's doing that not interested in spending their whole life with that person.
Mm.
Mm. You get, they doing that to catch things. Whether that's another fine woman finding her or to show off to their partner that's been getting way more girls than them. Look, I got one. I finally got one. You get them, like, it's shit like that.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? It's the shit that's not tangible that go to that. But as soon as the nigga get some backbone or they like, all right, let me settle down, all that shit go out the window. Now they looking for the woman that they want that fits them. Yeah, most men. So, but before that, yeah, it's all a game, baby. I'm finna dribble this ball and try to score as much as I can and look as pretty as I can do it. If I can finger roll that hoe up with my hand behind my head, goddamn me laying sideways in the air, you goddamn right I'm about to do it. Cause ain't nobody done it before, and it looked pretty.
Be gone.
I'm just letting you know.
But he somehow finds a way.
I'm gonna let y'all know, man. Y'all saying I gotta look pretty.
Kenny T, do you feel like other men influence men's decision in regards to who they date? Other men influence a man's decision in regards to who he dates.
When we say date, are we saying
that's clarity.
Are we saying boyfriend and girlfriend, or are we saying who you see me in public with sometimes?
Yeah, in public.
Yeah, just interested in date. We ain't talking about long term. We talking about just dating and interested in kicking.
Does
it
another man influence how another man?
Right. Like is impressing another man in the back of somebody's head when they choosing a chick?
Hell yeah. My bad. Go ahead.
I'm trying to think of this real hard.
Because he's trying to think of the opposite.
Take your time.
It's me.
Because I'm
talking to this girl.
Because basically,
I got the baddest one in the room. Nigga, like niggas love to be like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I mean.
That's how I go, though.
Is that to impress you or to say, hey, this is what I got?
Yeah.
Like, you can't get this.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. I'm at the top of the ladder in this room. Like, is that saying I got this because of you?
No.
To impress you? Or are we saying, yes, I got the baddest one in the room? Like,
to show you, I got the one that all y'all wanted.
Like, say I got Beyonce and I only went to Beyonce. Went and got Beyonce because I know you want her. No,
yeah.
Fuck no.
That woman is bad.
But man,
and yes, and I'm a flaunt that I'm a flaunt to everybody that this woman is the baddest bitch in this room.
But you saying Beyonce?
Take it down.
We talking. Okay. We talking a regular woman. Okay.
A lot of bitches.
Okay, let's. What regular woman you want to use? I mean, like,
you talking about regular woman? She ain't got to be famous. She just bad. Yeah,
okay, so I got this. I know
just
I got
two
the,
from your roster.
If I walk in the room, I got the baddest one in the room. This is not the. I'm not gonna run up to you and say, "Oh yeah, I got the baddest one, bro. I got
it."
This
ain't
one.
About
you
no. You thinking too much of that. It ain't about that. It's about it's that silent flex.
It's that, yeah.
That's just like silent flex.
That's just like my car. I didn't buy my car to impress you. I bought my car so I could flex it because I know it looks good.
It's a silent flex. But you ain't walking up on niggas like, "Hey, look at my fucking car. It's better than that piece of shit that you driving."
Right. I don't do that.
Exactly. So it's a silent flex.
But you know your shit of life.
But you do it.
No,
and that's what they're saying.
I don't do it, but you do.
I didn't buy the car because you wanted it.
True.
I bought the car because I wanted it, because I know it looks good, because I know it's rare.
Okay, but time out, though. That's a car. That's something that you want. That's something that you want. That's something that you're going to have for a while. We're talking about these women that you're just dating, and they're temporary. That's why niggas be getting
exactly.
them. They don't want these women for the long term.
Exactly.
These women are...
Hey, you know what I think? All right,
so you tell
me
you tell me I'm going out here to find a woman that I know is bad. She is bad.
Yeah.
We can see, both of us can see that she's bad.
Yeah.
And I got her.
Yeah.
And I only got her because you wanted her.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I know about 20.
I want her because I want this match because she is bad.
No. Well, shit. Matter of fact, talking about on Instagram.
And it impresses you because I got a bad one. Okay, I impressed you with it.
But
that don't mean
renting,
I did it because...
You're renting her.
On Instagram.
You're not thinking about no future with her. You're renting her.
That don't mean I got it because of you. That don't mean I got her because of you.
Man, you got her because society says she was the peers around you say, "That nigga, hey, and if I get my hands on her," and then when you go
example.
Run her down...
I give you a small example. You a chick, let's say she got 20,000 followers on Instagram. Y'all link up, you know, say you end up exchanging DMs. You end up going out. Before you go out with her, are you not thinking to yourself, "Damn, I got one of the baddest ones ever," or "I got a bad one and I'm gonna be able to take out and I know niggas gonna be hating"?
Yeah, okay, yeah, she's bad. Niggas might hate. Okay.
So just what you thinking that, you like, "All right, niggas gonna be hating it, damn."
But you don't really want to be with her. Like a lot of these chicks.
What?
Because okay, you've been out.
You're not thinking of her as your girlfriend. You just like, "Hey, is this a bad chick? I only want to smash." You just said that a couple seconds ago.
Hold tight. Wait.
Y'all diving away from what we're saying.
Let me explain to you what he's trying to say. What he's trying to say is this: I bought. Just use the car example.
I feel like car is different though, but go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna use that and then I'm gonna spin it back around to the person, right? I bought this nice car because I like nice things. I feel like this is my quality of my being. I got it for my self fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Now, is it gonna impress people? Of course. Do I know that? Of course. But I still love this car. Mm-hmm. So regardless of whether or not it didn't, I would still buy this car.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying it's the same way with women. I like this girl because she's bad.
Okay.
I like bad women. I like to smash bad women.
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to impress dudes? Sure. Mm-hmm. But that's not my sole reason or my main reason for doing it. It's because I like bad women. It's just my preference.
But
that's my quality.
But he's speaking for him, though.
Right.
A lot of men don't do it for that.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's what we talk
about. Well, you can say that with anything. You can use that same analogy with anything.
Yeah.
But we're saying in
but
college,
that's what makes the world go round.
Like us four on this right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're not chasing a bad. If you see a bad woman, you're not going to go after her because he said, "Oh, she's bad."
No.
No, you're not gonna do that. You're not gonna wait for a man on Instagram. You're gonna see him say, "Oh, this woman's bad. Okay, I'm gonna get her because you said she's bad." None of us is gonna do that.
True, none of us. But what they're saying is, do you feel like most men?
I don't feel like most men do that. No, I don't.
Mm.
I don't feel like that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. And my opinion on it is this, right? I would say that a lot of men definitely do it, and the reason being is because most people are sheep. Most people let outside influence their decisions. It just is what it is. That's why you got a top 10 movie section on Netflix. That's why you got a top hit section on iTunes, whatever the third. Some people like other people to make their decisions for them, right? Rather than me having to go search for all these songs, when I log on, I could say, "Okay, what's the top 10 that everybody listen to? Okay, bet. So let me start listening to these." Why? It's a million songs out there. You could easily go research and listen to all of them, but no. Everybody says that these are it.
Mm-hmm.
So let me check these out. It's the same thing with the Netflix. It's the same thing with, you know, a lot of these, you know, chicks that dudes be dating or whatever, which is why, you know, the same 10 to 12 chicks get passed around the industry, which is why they say that. It's a statement thing. It's a I made mm-hmm. it thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Compared to just trying to think of somebody just right off top, but somebody like a Lyrica Lore, somebody like a, you know, she done been with a lot of rappers, a lot of celebrities, a lot of athletes, and she keeps continuing to be able to do so. Why is that? It's because now that I made it, mm-hmm. you know, when I was growing up, I'm seeing her with this rapper dude. I'm seeing her with this athlete dude. So now that I'm on, if I got her on my side, that's validation that I made it.
Right.
It's a lot of dudes date chicks based on that. Not even at that big level,
right.
but at this, you know, lower level. Say, for instance, which is why we say you can catch bad chicks on the clearance rack.
Mm-hmm.
It's because when, you know, when I was coming up, before I got my glow up, before I got my money, she was it. And mm-hmm. she was dating the most popular dude in the city, or the most, you know, the star athlete of the city. But now that I'm lit, I'm going to get her because that's a statement of validation that I made it, that mm-hmm. I'm him now.
I don't
a lot of dudes think that way.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I believe he got her because she's bad. Let's not knock out the fact that a lot of these women are bad. But he doesn't want
to be with her long term.
Just because you don't want to be with somebody long term don't mean you can't fuck her. You can't be with her.
So why you want? Why are you?
There's a lot of people out here that you can be with, but not be with long term.
So why are you with her?
Because I want to date. I just want to have a good time.
I don't think that the long term got nothing to do with it.
She might have her own money.
Kenny's talking about his perspective.
A lot of these women that's running around in these industry got their own a little bit of their own money, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
A lot of men don't want to deal with a new chick that ain't got their own money.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take that into effect too. Hey, Larry might have been with this rap, been with that rap, been with so and so. She might still have her own money where he ain't got to finance everything. And she's still bad.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them don't.
And I can't say that that's what a lot of dudes are doing, because you just see him with
finance though.
How do we know this for a fact?
I know this.
Because the dudes...
A lot of things we're saying is that we're assuming that they don't have that money. A lot of things we're saying about some of these guys is that we're assuming that that's what they're doing for clout. If let's say Lil Baby was out when he was starting up.
That's different, though.
How is that different? Well, I mean, he was still coming up.
He had to come up and hit all these other...
He didn't have to go hit Alira or some of these high-name girls. Mm-hmm. And y'all are saying that's what a lot of these dudes are doing, but Lil Baby ain't do it. The Baby ain't do it. Who else?
We just
Roddy Rich ain't chick. Do it.
Like Moneybag. Like Moneybag. He was with Meg. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, that was
but a But Moneybag was happy for Meg. Let's get that right.
But Meg was the hottest at the time. Like, I get what you're saying. But Meg coming up, rising superstar, like, she got the momentum.
She was hotter than him.
She had the momentum. Now, after they broke up.
Is she bad?
He kept going.
Is she bad?
Yeah.
But so you're going to say because she was hot, that's why Moneybag was with her. That's what you're saying. Is that really what you're saying? Partially, yes. I'm going to say
that plays a role.
That's going to help rise my stock. Just, you
because
know, relationship,
she had her own money.
Relationships help rise your stock.
No, because she's a star.
Yep.
That's why. And I'm a rapper. And that's going to benefit me to have a star on my arm. That's going to raise my profile, which it did.
But the question was, are we doing that to impress other men? Is he doing that to impress other men, or is he doing that to rise his own career?
Both.
Same thing. Because your career is dictated.
Wait.
Your career is dictated by what everybody thinks of you.
Yes.
Yep.
Men and women, as an entertainer.
Yeah, both of them.
Men and women.
Yes. Both of them.
But we said, are we doing this to impress that other man?
Other men, no.
No, just men in general. People in general.
Yes,
it's a status symbol. It is. And the reason
we're just gonna like say I that said, for everybody then. We're just gonna say that every chick I date that's bad, I impress another man.
That's what you're doing.
But we can use that with every instance.
That's what you're doing.
If I have a bad chick on my arm and she impresses these other men, y'all are saying that I'm doing this to impress that other man.
If that's what you're doing.
We're saying that a lot of people let outside influences make the decisions for them. That's what I'm saying. People's decisions making
not
typically
you.
Are influenced by external forces.
Why is it not me?
Because we're not talking about you.
No, but if I did it, why would it not be me? Because if you could assume Moneybag did that with Meg, what if I was dating Meg? Would you assume that I was doing that to impress other men?
I know you.
You don't know me. Would you assume I'm doing that to impress other men?
With your career that you got statement. And all that? Hold up, with your career and everything. If we didn't know who you was.
You didn't know who I was.
No. So what did you do for a living?
Right.
You don't know who I was.
Then no.
I wasn't doing that to impress other men.
No, because we're not going to look at... No. No.
Yes. If I didn't know what you did for a living, yes. Because she's a superstar. She's a superstar. Because
you're still gaining. I get what you're saying, too. You're still gaining.
You're still gaining.
You're on a
lower level. Because you're on her hip.
You're on a lower level than she is. She'll be rising you up.
Yeah, we going to argue in circles. We're going to disagree. On that note, we're going to move on to the advice column.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
That's what they love to see.
So, where are we at on time, bro?
They love to see that.
15 minutes. Okay. First one comes from Alexis. It's a Patreon member.
Shout out, Alexis.
Appreciate it. She says, I had a question. Is cheating always premeditated?
Yes.
Yes. Next.
Yes.
Yes, at the end of the day. Because even if, because you have to get somebody number, like everything you're moving with is intentions. Yep. Like it's just selfish. Sometimes you really have no regard for your consequences. So you have to get this person number.
You what I can say, you're not thinking about the other person.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You're not thinking about the other person at all. But is it premeditated as far as like, man, I'm going to hit this ass? Yes. Or, girl, I'm going to get this dick? Yes. But as far as like, I'm going to get this dick to hurt this person or going to get this ass to hurt this person, you're not thinking like that. Most people not.
Well, I think you are thinking that if I hit this ass, it's the chance that I will hurt this person.
No, but you're not.
I'm not supposed to be doing this.
I understand. But I'm doing it. But in your mind, but why it's going on, you're not thinking of that. You thinking about, man, I'm fit to hit this girl, or I'm fit to fuck.
And then after the fact, you'd be like,
you don't think beforehand before you cheat, like, hey, I shouldn't be doing this. What is so and so going
on? Yeah, and you say, fuck it.
And you say, fuck
no,
it.
No, most people.
If I can get away with it, you'd be like, if I can get away with it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
As long as I cover my bases, cover my tracks, like,
yeah, see, I think premeditated is relative because it's like how long is the premeditation?
I was going to ask that too. You know I was going to ask that too.
So, but just by definition, I think premeditated is that you have prior knowledge of what you was going to do, you planned it out and executed. By definition, cheating is premeditated by definition because you have to make arrangements to do it. Mm-hmm, you can't just be, you know, it's not a spur of the moment thing because you got to factor in all of the, like everything, your girl, how she gonna respond? Okay, is it too many people I know here at this place that might see me?
Yeah,
I may have to pull around the back, park down the street, walk. Like it's a lot that goes into it. It's not just a situation, you know, where you just stumble and fall into some ass. That's not how it happens. So by definition,
not regularly.
I remember the other day I was just walking down the street, tripped, and I fell somewhere.
Whoops.
Babe, I went for a walk. All of a sudden, I tripped over a rock. But I was just a pussy.
Yeah. Even if you out, even if you just out having a good time or whatever, just so happen to link with somebody, like you still have to have conversations. You still have to make the arrangements to wherever y'all going.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's still a lot of steps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So yeah, cheating is premeditated. Yeah.
Right. On to the next one. This is from Lindsay. Also a Patreon member.
You good.
Yeah, would she write a history book?
She says, hey, Crew Season, I absolutely love the podcast and truly appreciate the knowledge you guys drop. I've even turned my mom onto the podcast. She is a big fan. Hey, shout out to you for that.
Shout out to the mom. Mm-hmm.
Tell moms we say what up.
She said, hey.
She said, I grew up in a church, definitely forced to do it, like most people. But as I got older, I focused on developing my own relationship with God that may or not have involved being in the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
In my adult life, I'm 32. While navigating the dating scene, I've noticed that most black men that I come across have this concept of being spiritual but not religious.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say they believe in God, but I'm not exactly sure what that even means. Don't get me wrong. I'm no Bible thumper. Yes, I believe in God wholeheartedly. I know some scripture. I would even go to church from time to time before COVID hit. However, most of the time I just listen to sermon podcasts purely out of convenience due to my work schedule. My question is this. Why do you think there's such a disconnect between God, church, religion, and the black man? Unrelated side note, I'm looking to relocate to Houston next summer. I'm a nurse, so I'll be working in the medical center area. What are some good areas with good schools within 30 to 45 minutes of that area? Any suggestions? Okay. That's interesting.
That's good. That's a good question.
But involving you working in the medical center area, you can live all around Houston because it's in the middle of Houston. So
right,
you got a lot of leeway on where you can live it. So
yeah, if you're in a medical center, everything 15, 20 minutes away from you. So
she was raised in a church.
DM me. I can shoot you a few.
She was raised in the church, Otis.
Yeah, she was raised.
She was raised in the church. So let me repeat the question.
What that mean, right?
retreat. I'm not gonna let y'all do that.
So she nasty, nasty.
I'm not gonna let y'all do that.
Firsthand.
She's nasty. Nah.
I ain't gonna let y'all do that. So her question is, why do you think there's such a disconnect between God, church, religion, and the black man?
No trust. No trust. That's what it is.
Debt.
And then go back to slavery.
Debt.
What else you got?
Man, I got a lot of shit on that.
Smooth ain't the person to talk about.
I know Smooth.
He gonna talk wild.
No, I ain't gonna talk wild. I'm just talking facts. It sound crazy though.
Just talking facts.
Hey, the facts about that shit is that shit is made up, right?
I knew it. He gonna talk wild.
This is facts though. Like, this is all facts. You know what I'm saying? But the people that gave us the Bible was the people that enslaved us. That gave us hope.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So that means all these racist motherfuckers that we see on the news, Donald Trump and all these motherfuckers, they read the Bible, don't they? They praise the same God we praising, right?
Yep.
So who really winning out here? You know what I'm saying? Who God blessing more? Us or them? You get what I'm saying? And they say it's supposed to be a forgiving God and you know what I'm saying, all this type of crazy shit. I don't see that. I don't see none of that. You know what I'm saying? So all that shit is made up, man. All that shit is made up. They sold us. The Bible is the greatest book ever sold, man. They sold greatest us hope. Story.
I think
they sold us hope, and we bought that shit.
It's about interpretation, and people use it and abuse it. That's what it come down to. Because, like, with me, I was born and raised in the church. I'm talking
me too.
3, 4, 5 days a week.
I used to go to New Light.
I'm going to school, going football practice. I'm even leaving football practice, going to church, like making sure mama, you know, making her go to church all the time. Sundays, all day, you know what I'm saying? 3 services, stuff like that. So,
hate them.
Like, but like it did give me like a super solid foundation, you know what I'm saying? And I'm real big on faith. I'm real big on like believing in yourself. And there's a lot of scriptures that can really help you, you know what I'm saying, get through things. But like, it's like the people that are teaching it, it's a lot of people giving out the word every Sunday, cheating on their wives, stealing money. Like, it's different things like that.
Pastors having side babies.
Yeah, like, and we know that. You know what I'm saying? Like, men know that. Women still gonna go. They still gonna praise. They still gonna hallelujah and shout and all that stuff, which is still good. But the same token, like, men, like, don't even want to give them that type of energy, because it's like, I just seen Pastor Jones at the club last week. You know what I'm saying? Like, I seen him sneaking. Like, now, not saying nothing is wrong with that. Not saying that he can't go out and have a good time. But you know what I'm saying? It's how you go about doing things. And a lot of times, We've just seen what's going on. Like, pastor having side babies, like Smooth said. Like, it's so much that be going on and so much corrupt things. It makes it hard for people to buy in. And if people were more honest, you know what I'm saying? Now, you do have some pastors, because you got to think too, like, you got a black man listen to a pastor talk about, yeah, I used to be a pimp. You know what I'm saying? Like, some pastors would come out saying stuff like that. Now, some of them change. Some of them don't.
Hey, L.A. pastors,
you know what I'm saying?
The eyes I need to see on TV when they put that shit on TV. They only had like one season, honey. They took that shit down. Get them off of there.
But at the end of the day, it's a business. It's a business too. You know what I'm saying? And it's a nonprofit.
Yep.
And a lot of people see a way in that.
They government funded. So.
And that's how they get their bread.
They got to protect some things.
Like being in a powerful position as a preacher like that, they also look. You get women. Women love leaders. Women love men of God. You know what I'm saying? So they'll use that and get women. Like, think about all these little cases that didn't happen where the man was like, oh, you gotta, you know, come to the house and pray. I'm gonna bless you. Yeah, he blessing all right. You know what I'm saying? That's real. I'm serious.
That's real, man.
Niggas do that and use that against them. Like, the Lord told me to put this on your body. Let me feel. Like, niggas really be disgusting like that, bro. And so it makes it hard for dudes to buy into that. And that's why some men don't even trust their women going to church.
That's for real, man.
Kenny, what do you feel like is the disconnect between man, God, church, spirit, and the whole, religion?
I wasn't raised in a church, so I'm really not a big church guy or a guy, or a biblical guy, you should say. I believe in a higher power, like there's, you know, something out there that's a higher force, but I don't believe it's, you know, one certain God that does all this for you. When something good happens, we got to thank God. When something bad happens, we can't.
You got to blame the devil.
Got to blame the devil, you know.
Mm-hmm. If they make you say
that. I think every action, you know, every action has a reaction. And a lot of things, people don't like to blame themselves for the actions that they take.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Very true.
You know, and then I hate the fact that we like, a lot of people like to use biblical sayings whenever something to prove their point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever it's convenient.
Yeah, whenever it's convenient. Oh, God says that the man's supposed to be, the Bible says the man's supposed to do this, blah, blah. Okay, and also say you ain't supposed to be out here fucking and sucking every weekend.
But you're doing it.
On your ass having sex when you're not married, but you're still doing it. You know what I'm saying? So which side are you trying to choose? You only pick one side of the Bible to believe in and then try to blame it on somebody else. I don't agree with that. You know, like they say, you have people that's using this just as meat to get money off of people. Steal money from, you know, older folks.
Look at y'all, you know, Allstate.
You know, I mean, it's you driving around Rolls Royces and stuff.
PD
and
pop people, off.
They giving away 10% of their earnings when they can't do.
Peter, you know what I'm saying? Peter pop off.
They can't afford to do that, but they still do it because they believe in you. You saying it, hey, give God your money. We do this for you. This and that. And you got homeless communities of homeless people and homeless shelters not putting up no money for that. You know, like you should be living in a $10 million mansion. You got homeless people on the street. You shouldn't. And in my case, you shouldn't. You're there to help support the people. You give the word and you help support the citizens that come and support you. But, you know, that's just my take. I mean,
like
I'm not big on Bible stuff, and I'm not big on, you know, you have to believe in God and you have to be spiritual. You know, if my girl is like that, she wants to go to church, hey, that's fine with me. Go ahead and go. Don't force me to do that. It's just not going to go well. So, yeah.
Okay. The thing about church with me, man. I, for one, did not grow up in the church. My mom and daddy tried to make me go a couple times. But how my mind works is it's not built for that type of environment, for just believing in something for the sake of believing in something. See, I think that's the gift and the curse about church. The gift is that it gives people something to believe in, and, you know, it gives them something to fear. So they act right so they can go to heaven and not go to hell. So it's a situation where it gives people guidance. It gives them a guideline. It's something to believe in.
Right.
The downfall of church is that it gives people hope and something to believe in. And the reason being is because, just like Kenny said, you know, your decision-making has a lot to do with what goes wrong in your life. Matter of fact, in my opinion, I say everything to do with what goes wrong in your life. But people can use that Bible as a crutch sometimes. Things go bad. Oh, it's the devil's fault. Oh, you know, if the devil would this. And when they go good, oh, it's God, you know, or a lot of times they don't even thank God for that. They put it on them and say when it go bad, it's the devil. But what I say that to say is that it removes accountability from people based on this hope thing and based on this scripture that, you know, that man created, because that's what happened. Man created that, that Bible long ago. So it's that I don't distrust. I mean, that I have distrust. And it's also because my mind is an analytical mind. Everything with me is money. Everything to me is business. Everything to me is, you know, assets plus liability equal. Everything, my mind works that way ever since I was a child. So when I used to go to church and I would see how it would work, it's hard for me to focus on the word when I'm seeing that, you know, they charging us to park. We coming in, they taking one, payment for the plate, taking tithes, they're taking this, and then it's like we don't really see where the money is going. Like, they tell us where it's going, but we don't see where the money is going. And then when you're working in the church and you back there breaking the money up, counting things down, and you saying, okay, yeah, the envelope go to this pastor, the envelope go to this deacon, envelope go to this, and it's like, but as followers of the church, you thinking that it's going somewhere else.
The building fund,
things like that.
Been,
but
30 years, ain't seen one.
Ain't the same door broke that was on that was broke when you was gone when you was a kid. It's little things like that that made me be like, you know what? I can't contribute to this. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, everybody needs something to believe in. If that's what you believe in, that's perfectly okay. My wife grew up in the church, and that was like a issue with us at first, because I'm like Kenny, like I'm all for you going. Do you? When she wake up and say she going to church, I would never you know, downer for that or nothing. She needs some money put in plate or whatever, I'll give her that, you know, if it's necessary. But she got her own money, she don't need that. But I'm just saying, if it's necessary, hey, do you. But don't drag me there, because my mindset is not going to change. I believe what I believe, and I believe that church was put into this world as a, I mean, fear is profitable. Mm-hmm. Like that's what this shit boils down to. All fear is profitable. And that's what they doing. That's why you got people like Joel Osteen making millions of dollars every weekend.
Yep. Fact.
For public speaking.
And then
opening the church when we have a crisis.
Bingo. Hurricane hit this city and, you know, he didn't want to open up the church.
And then when they press him, oh, I'm not an ordained minister.
Right. Again, that's the convenience that we're talking about. I can lean on this when it's convenient for me too, and when it's not, y'all on your own. But if you really a man of God, and if you really believe in that, and if you really follow what the word says, mm-hmm. it would be no ifs, ands, or buts. We going by what this Bible say. But people don't do that. Mm-hmm. So that's what causes us to distrust things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I will never be that deeply involved in the church. Ever. The
last thing, go look up that pastor that told his church. He already got like a private jet. He already got a private jet. This is fact. You can look this up mm-hmm. on YouTube. He went back to his church and said, hey, God told me to tell y'all, y'all need to buy me this another private jet.
Jethro Dollar.
Clefro
Dollar.
Telling people to give them their stimulus checks.
Yeah.
Well, that like stuff like that just that's what drives people away.
Right.
That's what drives people away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I personally think though, but like for people that are lost, you know what I'm saying? Like it's good to have
something
and have something to lean on, you know what I'm saying? Believe in yourself, because you can always interpret it. And put yourself in that position by the shoes, and
just don't go listen to the PD pop off.
Yeah, just overcoming obstacles. Like that's what a lot of it'd be about. Overcoming obstacles, believing in yourself, having faith, being strong. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of battles you're gonna face within yourself. You know what I'm saying? So take those things from that. If you know in a church a lot, take some of those from the Bible and the worldly things too. Because people like to, it's a lot of times it's either or. It's either you a Bible thumper or you straight in the world. You know what I'm saying? I do think that people need to just understand just a little bit sometimes. People, especially people that are just completely lost. Because it, like I said, it just helps you have some type of foundation and just be strong and, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So. I look at it like it's a form of inspiration, but I get that same inspiration just looking around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just like the same way that you would read that story about David and Goliath, I can look to, you know, about the, you know, overcoming odds and beating odds. I could look at a Smooth who came from a certain situation, you know what I'm saying? And now he beat those odds and doing well in life and thriving, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like I can get that same inspiration just in real life. And essentially that's what the Bible is. Created stories to give you, you know what I'm saying, guidance and inspiration and hope enough to do well and act right. And that's cool. But I take it for what it is. I'm not letting that dictate my life, or if I, you know, I got to go to church every Sunday, or else I'm going to hell. Right. Like it'll never. Because
they
be
really make you feel that way,
right?
They really do.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah,
they make. And that's nothing I don't like too. Sometimes like the strict people be so strict. Like you can't listen to outside music. You can only listen to this. If not, you're going to hell. Like a lot of people, artists back in the day, like in the 60s and 70s, they was afraid to cross over. Because a lot of them were raised in the church.
Sam Cooke.
Yeah, like Sam Cooke, for a perfect example.
David Ruffin.
They were scared to transition over.
And next question, right?
What?
Next question, right? What?
You didn't go to church, so how you gonna cross over?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was crossing the street to strip-a-tease.
Boy, that's a damn fool. All right, on to the next one, man. It says, what's up, Crew Season? This is Tim from Memphis, Tennessee. What up, Tim?
What up?
And I need your help on the situation with me and my childhood friends. Mm-hmm. We've been friends for over 20 years
mm-hmm.
and basically treat each other as brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up unfortunate and chose to take the street route to come up in life. Over the past 5 years, I started taking a different route and working on myself to be the best man I can be before the street shit caught up with me.
Mm-hmm.
I try convincing them to take a step back from the streets, but they're not open to change. And look at the route I took as bougie and lame. And, you know, they tell me, stick to what we good at. And put in parentheses, if you know, you know. Yeah, you ain't got to elaborate. We already know what time it is. So I stopped coming around as much. But when I do, I feel like an outcast with them. I've met new people from different walks of life, and I relate to them more with where I am in life than I do with friends I've been cool with for 20 years. So I just feel like I outgrew my brothers. Mm-hmm. They don't see the bigger picture in life as I do. So my question is to you fellas is this. How do I go about distancing myself from childhood friends without confrontation? Oh, yeah. I attend Sleazeball University working on my master's.
Shout out, baby. Shout out.
This is interesting.
Leave their ass in the dust.
Yeah. Keep separating yourself.
I'm sorry. Yep. I mean, you know that life ain't good for you. You know, you either end up dead or in jail. Yep. If they don't want to leave from that life, hey, you say, sorry, hey, I love you, but I got to go.
Prepare yourself now.
Because that shit just, it ain't healthy for you, obviously. It ain't healthy for anybody in that situation. And then for the fact that they can't see, if they really your boys, if they really your best friends, your mm-hmm. boys, they would literally just give you the most praise and help you out if you need that way.
Mm-hmm.
Honest to God, if they said they want to go a different route, I'm going to give you whatever you need to do to go ahead and get that done. I'm not going to tear you down. I'm not going to say you changing up on me. You doing that.
Call him lame. Call him soft.
Because I know you're trying to do better for yourself.
Bro, I didn't hurt it all, bro. I didn't hurt it all. Trust me. I know what you're going through right now. Because that's your hood. That's your family. That's what you know. You done been through the trenches with these motherfuckers. So you know what's up. You know what I'm saying? And on your end, you looking at it like, bro, we can get money in other ways. We can do other shit. We can elevate even more. Because right now, we hustling in the hood. And that's what we're going to be stuck at. What we hustling for, we ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So when you elevate, I'm going to tell you right now, bro, some of you niggas going to go to jail. That's just what it is. Somebody, one of them might die here. That's just what it is, right? But what you elevating, you know what I'm saying? You got to stick to that shit. Stick to that motherfucker. Go get shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the shit that you ever dreamed about having, that's still up. You get what I'm saying? That's all that shit still up. You want the $100,000 whip. You want the goddamn $500,000 home. Go chase that shit down. The moment you start getting that shit, and you start goddamn, and they see that shit, bro, they gonna praise you like you Jesus Christ. And they gonna be like, damn, I should've. You know what I'm saying? And they gonna be hollering, hey, bro, like, hey, man, how can I do that? And don't turn no blind eye to them. Just tell them, hey, bro, it ain't nothing but some work. You know, it ain't nothing but some work. Just like you standing on the corner. Goddamn me, are you staying in this trap house goddamn 14 hours? You can be goddamn doing this in 10 hours.
Bingo.
Different form, yep.
Bingo. You get what I'm saying?
Same hustle, different form.
But you're going to have to be the standard. You know what I'm saying? And you can't have no problem with being the standard. And so I'm telling you, well, the moment you start elevating, you start getting shit that they can't get with that hustling money, a couple of them going to want to change their life. But a couple of them, you might have lost all of them to the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it go when you coming from that. You might have like lost all of them to that shit. And you look back goddamn 30 years, they still going to be in the same spot. You got you a hell of a family. You got you a hell of a career. You got way. You got new friends. They all doing just as well as you or better. And none of y'all got risk of going to jail. You ain't got to worry about that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be tough right now, bro. But just keep elevating.
Yeah, this hit home with me, man. Family, friends, it's in the industry still. I've been trying to get to move out here or just leave the environment altogether, man. But, you know, one thing I noticed is that people are going to learn on their own time. Just is what it is. You can come down there and give somebody the perfect blueprint to go get the money. And they going to nod their head and agree. And, yeah, you're right, bro. Yeah, you know, I did think about going to school, man. I did think about, you know, getting this job or going there. And, you know, when you leave, because you got to leave and go back to your environment, they're going to go back to doing what they know. They're going to go back to doing the same thing. You know, I got friends, I ain't going to say no names, but, you know, still on social media to this day, flashing guns and flashing weed and flashing pills, mm-hmm. syrup, all kind of different things like that. And you know, I'm at such a different place in life. I don't even want to be around or hear about none of that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like once you hit a level, and you know, this is another thing I want to tell you, don't feel guilty for that
at all.
Because survivor's remorse will mess with your mental stability more than a lot of things. Cause I had that when I first left. You know, I felt like I'm leaving my brother. Just like Smooth, that, you know, that's your neighborhood. These people you done went to the sandbox with from knee high, all this. Y'all done, they done spent the night at your crib. You done, you know, ate at their crib and met know they moms and this, that, and the third. And, you know, you feel obligated to, like, make sure that we all make it. And when I first left, I carried that with me. I felt guilty being in college and being away and knowing what I'm getting ready to go to. And they not. Because in the back of my head, I knew that they wasn't going to do no better. I knew it. But I just hoped that, okay, if I can go win and show them how to do it, I can bring this back and we all can win. But it don't work like that. People got to learn on their own time. So you got to be patient in that regard, and, you know, give people the opportunities. That don't mean, you know, keep the game to yourself. You give them the game. But it's on them to execute it. You can't hold their hand and walk them there. You're not, because you're going to end up dragging yourself down with them. And, you know, especially speaking for me, I got a wife. I got a child. Like, I don't want to hear about street politics when you call me. Oh, man, such and such got jumped over there. Such and such got shot over there. You ain't going to believe what happened. I don't want to hear about that, bro. Like, I'm at a point in my life to where if it ain't a money play or if it ain't, like, elevating us on some positive legal stuff, keep it from around me. I got too much to lose. And as a friend, you should understand that. And luckily my friends do, most of them, understand that. It's like, okay, he's somewhere else. You know, when we chop it up, we can, you know, reminisce about how things used to be and talk about sports and different things like that. But for our street politics and, you know, the drama, the mess that's going on, I'm not going to bring that to him. When we, you know, we smoke this weed, pop these pills all day. When he get here, we not, you know, doing that around him. We gonna go outside to do that. Or we going to drive down the street to go do that. And that's what real friends are. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times people be thinking, you know, friend, you know, real friends, somebody that's going to have you out there doing the dirt with them. When I was growing up, the older people in my neighborhood kept me away from that. They was like, bro, you smart as hell, man. You nice and bald. You not going to be out here doing this. You need to go to school. You need to go do that. And it's not a lot of that going on. People would rather drag you down with them than, you know, push you to go do something else and put on for the squad. So I just say all that to say, bro, you got to stand on your squad. Don't feel guilty. Go out there and win. And just pray that one day it hit them before it's too late. That they need to change their, you know, situation. But until they want to do it, it ain't going to happen. On to the next one. This is from, I don't know, I'm going to just read it first. Hey, bro, can you please answer the question on this show? I really need y'all advice. So I've dated a good girl for 2 years now. We've lived together, raised a dog together, the whole nine. And now we moved into separate apartments because of just too much arguing with her over girls at my job, past things I did when we first started talking that she says constantly to this day that are making her insecure. My feelings just aren't all there anymore. Say I have love for her, but I'm not in love with her anymore. So how do you go about ending something like that? P.S. She's crazy.
Hey, it's over, baby. I'm sorry. And y'all moved in different apartments. Hey, look. It's over with. It's done.
But she crazy.
Period. It's over with. It's done. I'm sorry, baby. We ain't gonna never work out. I wish you find a better man than me and get out of there. That's it. That's all you gotta do.
How you breaking up with her, man?
You gotta tell. That's it. This is it. Like, I can't take this shit no more.
Hey, you done talked about me enough.
That's exactly what I was going to say. This is it. I can't take this shit no more.
That's how I'm going to say it. But, like, yeah, man, you falling out of love with her. You know what I'm saying?
He already fell out of love with her. So it's done, man.
You know what I'm saying? But you care about her. So just, hey.
Fuck that. She ain't care about you. So look, fuck what I said. Ghost her motherfucking ass.
They got a dog. They got a dog together. Yeah.
Dog. Okay.
Yeah. Fuck that dog. You always get you a new dog.
Roof. You always get you a new girl, too.
And get you a new girl with the new dog.
Yeah,
man. Just
how?
I mean, how you. Told us. I mean, shit. Say you know, I love you, but I'm not in love with you no more. We just got to go separate ways.
Do this. Yeah.
Make this better for both of us. You can't get over the past cheating that I did, because obviously, I guess you cheated.
Sex with her.
Right. You can't get over past cheating.
It was your fault.
Your fault.
It was your fault.
You made the mistake of cheating, and you got to live up to that. Hey, you can't get over it, and I'm sorry for doing it, but I can't keep on working with, you know, being interrogated or saying that I'm doing something if I'm not doing it no more. So, y'all got to move separate ways. Hey, take the dog with you. Take the dog with you.
Because I'm guessing you paid for the dog. I'm guessing.
Yeah, if you paid for the dog, take it.
And breed him like Smooth.
At least every time you, at least every time you come home, he's going to be happy to see you.
That's facts.
Funny, man, but that's real.
But there's another dependent though.
Yeah, bro. Sometimes you just gotta rip that band-aid off, man. I know, man. I know you don't be wanting to hurt her. you feeling like, oh, you know, maybe she can turn it around one day. Typically, that don't happen, fam. She gonna hold on to that stuff you did forever, and she gonna bring it up at the most inconvenient times for you. Be 6 months down the line, 2 years later, y'all, you feeling y'all done had a good day, everything going great. You know, yo, you get a text message at.
I just want to know.
Bingo.
What?
Bingo.
A random mood shift. You wake up, she just somber.
You wake up, she deep in your phone.
That's facts.
Acting like she found the most egregious thing. Get out of here.
I say, sometimes, man, you just got to know when to pull that plug, bro. And, you know, don't wind up like one of these people that, you know, held on 10 more years and got kids and marriage. Now everything messy, the divorce messy, you know, fighting in custody and family court, different things like that. Don't wait till it get to that point. If you fell out of love with her, the writing on the wall right there. Mm-hmm. Sit her down, keep a G, and move around. And
fuck,
if she keeps trying to
G, fuck that. Ghost her motherfucking ass. You say she crazy, ain't no talking. Just stop talking. Hey, change your number.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I was about to get to. I was going to say, sit her down, keep a G, tell her everything that you're feeling. And then if she keep trying to do whatever, block on everything and ghost her. It's simple as that. You know what I'm saying? You gotta let some people sort that out on their own. Because if you don't, she going to constantly like trying to plead with you and convince you as to why you should stay with her. Mm-hmm. And that's going to confuse you because you care about her, clearly. Because you wouldn't be asking this question if you didn't. She would have been ghosted. But you care about her. So you can't let that get in your head when she trying to plead with you to get back. You done. You over with. Move around, bro. Simple and plain. On to the next one. Said, hey, I need some advice on what to do. Say if I met a guy online, not knowing him previously, and we've been talking for going on 3 months now. I want a relationship with him, but he says we should start off as friends first before we get into a relationship. He says that he's not interested in other women and is only talking to me. How long should I wait on this friend phase to go by so we can be in a relationship? I really like him. Our communication is very good and his understanding is good too. I don't want to pressure him because I don't want to ruin it. Please tell me what I should do. It's from Noonie.
Did she say she asked him what they was going to be or no?
No, not yet.
No, he said that he don't want a relationship right now. He think they should be friends first. Say they've been talking for 3 months.
3 months. Okay. They still kind of early.
Online or are they in person?
Say I met a guy online, didn't know him previously. So maybe they are in person.
Have they met him? Yeah. Damn, we need that.
Yeah.
Context.
We need that extra context. Like, are y'all still talking online or y'all, you know, y'all met up and y'all had a.
Y'all live in the same Greek city.
Y'all live in the same city? Because if you trying to be with a man online.
No.
Yeah.
No, ain't that right now. But I mean.
But let's just say that they're in the same city. Right. Around each other.
Give it a benefit of the doubt.
How would you play it, Kenny?
Cool. I mean, don't let all your eggs out the basket. Just because he say he ain't talked to nobody else, that don't mean I ain't got to talk to nobody else. What? I'm just being real. You want to be friends? We're friends. I'll be friends with you, and I can have other friends.
We are friends.
Welcome to.
We are friends. Just know you are number one.
Now, are they sexually active?
Just know that you are number one. If you're sexually active,
I would assume so.
Make that the only one that you're sexually active with.
I don't know if she's going to be able to talk to somebody else and they're not being sexually active either now.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. I could do that.
Unless he a whole sucker.
See, the thing is, this the caveat. She truly, 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 truly likes him. Mm-hmm. She puts 2 exclamation marks at the end of the what should I should do. So that means she really likes him.
You got your friend and you got your friends. Make sure you have somebody else to occupy your time when that shit is. Don't put all your time into one person. That's gonna fuck you up mentally. Like, understand, like, when you're bored or something, like, what else can you do besides talk to him or, you know, do other things? Like, I don't believe just having one person to talk to if y'all are just friends. It's right. You're just putting yourself in a predicament to where you're gonna be hurt. Because exactly. All you're doing is giving all your time to this one person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's all you see is this
then
one
when
person.
When he pop up with another girlfriend on your fool ass.
That's all you hear from him is this one person. Shattered. So whenever you come home from work, you want to talk to him, but he's like, well, I'm talking to Sarah.
I'm going to sleep at 8 o'clock.
I'm going to sleep at 8 o'clock. But I'm awake. Oh, well, I'm sorry. We're just friends.
Yeah.
And we're not taking it serious. So I would take it slow and then, you know, slow play it. You know, another three months down the line, say, hey, okay.
Right.
We've been doing this, you know, we're talking, you know, we're going out on dates, you know, we're having a really good time. I feel you in this kind of way
I want to take it the next step. I want to be boyfriend and girlfriend. Hopefully he already came to you about it within 6 months. But if not, then, you know, bring it up to him. If he gives you, hey, I just still want to be friends. He's talking to somebody else. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm a call bullshit on that. On him saying that he's not interested in other women. He lying. thing is, you gotta take people for their word, especially man. If he's coming in there and saying, "Hey, I think we should be friends first." No man has ever said that to a woman that he's very extremely interested in. You say that to women that you are unsure about. And I know you like me, so I'm going to keep you in the tuck. But I'm still out here looking for something that I'm truly interested in. Oh, if I don't find it.
Already.
Yeah, oh, I got something. But if I don't find it, maybe we can work somewhere down the line. So what that means is that you about to put your life on hold for a while. Because it don't take, man, 3 months to make that distinction on where you fall. And he's made it. Because he sat you down and told you, which you got to give him credit for that. Because most dudes don't even do that.
Facts.
They would have just strung you along, not saying nothing. And then, you know, hey, I didn't never say, hey, we were together. It's that kind of situation. But he had the nuts to sit you down and say, look, I feel like let's be friends. And you need to take that man at his word and live your life accordingly. I understand you like him. I understand it's going to be hard to entertain other men because your focus is there. But if you ever want him to respect you at all, you can't press him. You can't, because you are losing all leverage in that situation, and he's going to feel like he always got you. So what is the rush? You want to be with that man? Go off, do your own thing, and watch how fast we should be friends turn into, hey, you know what I'm saying, turn into more of an exclusive type of situation, yeah. Or turn into him bending, if he really likes you. If it doesn't, then, you know, you got your answer, and you out moving, doing what you're supposed to be doing, but you didn't put your life on hold. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of women be doing.
Give him time to miss you. That's it.
Yeah, really.
That's it. Don't answer his phone call every time he call you. Goddamn me. Every time he want to kick it, don't be trying to kick it. You'll move up the ladder. If you don't move up the ladder, then you know he either got a girlfriend or he really not really feeling you like that. It's just for the ass. Mm-hmm, but that do not put your life on hold.
Otis, how they be doing you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So they don't say they just want to be friends with you or what?
No, I tell them I want to just be friends.
Oh, okay.
You like a girl a lot. She sits you down and say, hey, man, we should just be friends.
I'm going to have another in my box anyway.
There you go. Okay.
But I'm single right now, so.
Okay.
Are you single?
Yeah. On that note, we're going to wrap this thing on up. Y'all boy, shout out to our social medias and things of that nature.
SMUV _ Follow the goddamn Dean, bitch.
So well, _fitness, all platforms. And shout out to S5 Podcast. Make sure y'all follow them.
That's real.
KT_Goodrich, everything.
DTrillAC, follow everywhere, Crew Season. Make sure y'all follow the pod, Instagram, yes. Twitter.
And rate. Goddamn.
All of that good stuff.
Comment on the YouTube videos. That's actually how algorithms work on YouTube.
Like, mm-hmm. a lot of comments. So share.
Yeah, let's try to get up to 20,000 followers by subscribers. Subscribe. By
can we do it
by March 20th birthday?
Let's go.
We do that. I'm buying 2 bottles of Ace of Spade on Otis Tab that day.
We inviting the fans out.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of fans, shout out to Patreon members. But yeah, on that note, man, we're going to get up out of here with a record from Jasmine Sullivan and Ari Lennox. It's called On It. Mm. If you ain't heard it, you will now. Mm. Yeah, we're going to get up out of here, man. Hold up, man. Let me get this. Why you deserve
you driving reckless? Take this water and hydrate, bitch. I'm